What's up, everybody? Hi. Hey, it's the best show. It's me, Tom. I'm the host of tonight's episode, right? You've met me before. It's me, Tom. What's up? We got a good show for you now. We got MGMT swinging by. They're going to say hi and talk about records. And we got more and more. The phone number, 201-332-3484. That's the number tonight if you want to call in and be a part of the best show. But right now I tell you that you can sit back, relax, crack open a cold soda, right? We're back to full strength now. We got AP Mike back in the house. And Mike, I got to tell you this. The other two guys, Dudio and Pat, they're great guys. But Mike, they're not fit to carry your jock. Right? They're not fit to carry your jock. Either of them. You remember that. When I inevitably lapse into a blind broadside attacking every aspect of your being, putting you down from every possible angle, combining truth and fiction, Mike, you remember that on February 27th, I said, they're not fit to carry your jock, all right? When I find myself unfairly making up things about you for my own amusement, belittling you for commercial gain, you remember on February 27th, Mike, I said, they're not fit to carry your jock. All right? And that's why, Mike, I'd like to send this song out to you. This goes out to my good friend AP Mike. This one's for you, buddy. Well, actually, it's the theme to the show, so it's not so much of a request as something that I was going to play anyway. But this one goes out to AP Mike.
Yeah.
Oh, hi, everybody. Welcome to The Best Show. Hey, it's me, Tom. What's going on, right? It's The Best Show. We're here. It's Tuesday night in late February. February becomes March. The seasons turn, and yet I find myself here week after week, like a tree that just don't know any better. Here, Mike's going off. Ooh. It's running things out there. It's running things. You guys could take a page from Mike's book. Look, Mike, how's it sound? And I'll say this again. Last week, Mike, you weren't here. These two, I love them. I love them to the end of the world. Dudio and Pat, they're not fit to carry your jock. You remember that. Because at some point, you'll wonder, why is Tom making things up about me? Right? You'd be like, why is Tom making things up? I didn't do that. And just remember that he told you they weren't fit to carry your jock. So, in a little bit, we'll bring in MGMT here, and they have a hit new album, and everybody loves it so much. And we'll talk about that and all sorts of other things. But let me go to the phones right now. Hot phones. Who's good, Mike? Line one, your idea of good or my idea of good? No one's idea of good. Well, that can only be. Welcome to The Best Show. Okay. What do we got there? What are you watching there?
Politics.
Hello.
Your colors and your humanity inside.
Okay.
Better dead than sorry.
What are you watching? Blue Bloods?
Your blood.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Tom. How are you?
I'm good. Oh, my goodness.
Better, man.
As I live and breathe, it's Avalanche Bob, the legend. The legend.
You see the Olympics?
Did I see the Olympics? No, I'm getting ready.
Did you see the snowboarding?
I'm getting fired up for them. I can't wait. They start this Friday. I cannot wait to cheer on our athletes. The Olympics.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it was great, Tom.
It was great. What?
Man, the snowboarders.
Wait, what was great?
The snowboarding revolution is here, Tom.
The snowboard revolution is here. Wait, the Olympics happened already?
Huh?
The Olympics happened already.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was.
Oh, man, you should see those boarders, man.
Really?
One guy jumped as high as a building. They're superheroes. I'm telling you, this is the most exciting sport in the world, Tom.
Snowboarding is.
I'm telling you, it's the most. This thing is going to be big, Tom. Yeah, I'm telling you. But you know what gets me mad? That this company, Teon Gravity.
What's that?
They have a thing called Snowboard Revolution, right?
Yeah.
And you know that's in my songs and everything, right?
Yeah, of course. No, you.
So I called these people and said, I got things to help you.
Yeah.
And they're not interested. And yet my album is being played on some places in the other country. A guy named Bennett played it in Los Angeles. A kid Chris played it. And I think, WMFU played something.
Sure.
Have you played it yet?
Have I played it yet? No, I have. I've not played it on the air yet. I do have it, though. I do finally have it.
Are you going to play it?
What song would I play off of this record? If I was to play a song, look, and I'm not saying I'm going to play a song off of it.
Yeah.
But what song
would
you
like it?
I didn't have a chance to check it out yet, honestly. What would be the best song to be the first song to hear off of it?
Well, I'm telling you, Tom, I think they're all great. But the core Drivers of the New Rock seem to be getting the most attention. And,
Drivers of the New Rock.
The New Rock, yeah.
Okay.
And then, I have a song called, The Day That Hate Died. You heard that.
I've heard that's been a work
in Space Island.
Okay.
About kids wanting to go to space.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got a song about from my idea for a Broadway show called Hoodoo Man. And they got a song about Snowboarder from Hell. That's for a show, too. And there's a lot of different things on there, Tom.
So there's going to be two Broadway shows?
Yeah, idea for two Broadway shows, yeah, or TV shows.
All right. Well, look, I'm excited about this album. It looks great. Drivers
of
the New Rock.
It's like a lot of things you've never heard before. I mean, I would say Hoodoo Man is a lot like some of the, what's his name would do? I can't think of it now, but it's really different. And listen, Tom, we're going to be doing a show again, a big show at Maloney's this year, big show.
Okay.
And, you know, so you think you might go this year?
When is that show now?
It's going to be the 16th, Friday before St. Patrick's Day, the Friday before 16th.
Okay. I might be out of town then, but I do know AP Mike, AP Mike and Pat have been...
Oh, Pat, yeah.
They
Pat said he loves the album.
Pat loves the album. AP Mike already said it's the best album of the year.
Really? Yeah.
He already said it's the best album of the year.
You've heard of Sam Cogan, right?
Sam Cogan, yes. That's one
of
your...
Yeah, he's the guy helped produce it, and he's got his own band, you know?
What's his band called?
And he did a skit with the Left Bank a little while back.
With the Left Bank?
Yeah. That he did a show with them. And what else? And Owen Klein, he's a genius, man.
He's a genius. Who is that now? Is that
That's Kevin Klein's son.
Oh, it's Kevin Klein's son. Mm-hmm. That's your. That's who. How is he in your orbit now?
Pardon me?
He is. What is he? He's in your manager, or what is he?
He's like my manager and my soul brother. He's one of the most wonderful guys I've ever met.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. Well, yeah,
and you want to hear a rockabilly?
Yeah, let's hear some. Let's hear an original. Look, you told us all about...
Got down two, got down three. Well, the rock and roll and down, no board rocking, they're going to rock the world. Going to set up every boy and girl. Rocking, they can punk them, yo. Almost no borders, really go. Super borders, rocking the beat. Take a record, everybody, take it to the street.
Oh, I love it. That one. Now, what's the name of that one?
I just made that up.
Okay.
Yeah.
What would you think about doing one for AP Mike? Just a song called AP Mike's Theme.
For what?
Hey, you know AP Mike, the guy who screens calls here?
AP Mike, yeah.
Do one off the top of your head for him, like a tribute to AP, like an AP Mike's
tribute
theme.
To Mike?
Yeah, his theme song.
Mike, take a bop, bop, cool, tang down. He's a rockin' with the best, yo, put it on down. Rockin' need the bop, bop, pat there too. Cordio rockin' and top down do. Everybody movin' the number stop. Kicking at the edge of the revolution box. Take it to the edge of the moon to stop. Take it to the edge of the newborn rock.
Oh, I love it. That was... You hear that? And you mentioned Dordio in that, right?
I mentioned everybody, yeah.
You got Dordio in there. Finally. Because this guy's been moaning. This guy, I'll tell you this, Avalanche
Bob. I mentioned
Bob.
Him before.
I'll say this. This guy moans. This guy thinks you don't like him. Dordio.
What was that?
Dordio thinks you don't like him.
I love Gudio. He knows that, man. I love all you guys. You're the best, man.
Of course. Thank you, Avalanche.
You guys are rocking the world, man.
Well, look, you have a great evening, and I'm going to check this record out, and maybe I'll play something from it.
This week or next week?
I might play something tonight. In fact, I might play something.
Okay, my man. And as I said, we've got a little big things coming up. And, I did a movie. Did I tell you that?
The movie, yes.
Yeah, as a part in a big movie, a Hollywood movie.
A Hollywood movie? Wait.
Yeah, it'll be out in a couple of months, 8 months from now.
And what's the movie called?
They shot the movie in my apartment.
What's this movie called?
No, they didn't put a name on it yet. It's about a comedian, a guy who wants to be a comedian. He hasn't got a name for it yet.
Who's the star?
Not sure of the name.
Who's the star of the movie? Can you
It'll
tell
be
us
out
that?
8 months.
Can you tell
us? No, I'm not sure about that either yet, because there's a lot of different people involved in this. But it was a Hollywood movie, and they did it in my apartment. And I did about a 20-minute thing. I went to a funeral, and they asked me to do a make up something, so I did a thing about the cat, and it was really, they said it was great. So
great. I can't wait. Hollywood movie coming up. I'll keep my eyes peeled.
Yeah, things are really going good, and I owe so much to you and, the other guys that are helping me.
You're sweet.
Kid Chris, he's a wonderful guy, I don't know if you ever heard his show, WEBN in Cincinnati.
He was a big supporter of Bruce Springsteen.
And there's, this guy Bennett paid my song, KXLU in Los Angeles, and I'm hoping that WFMU will play something. Pat said he could get something to them. And
thank you. Look, we're going to
play something already.
Goodbye. I can't handle it anymore. This guy. All right, let's play something from his record. Should I play something, Mike? All right. This is from Avalanche Bob's record. This song's called Drivers of the New Rock. Let's check this out. Wait. Why is it not playing? Hold on. Why would it not play? Hold on. Let's see. Here we go. Let's check it out. Drivers of the New Rock. Wait, no, that's not it. It's the Bad Brains. That's not his record. Here we go. Drivers of the New Rock from the new hit album by Avalanche Bob. This is the, not a premiere, but it's the best show premiere of this. So here it is. Drivers of the New Rock by Avalanche Bob. Okay. No, that's Asia. That's not him. Let's see here. Let's find. Here we go. Avalanche Bob, Drivers of the New Rock, a hit song from his new record. Let's take a listen. Here we go.
In the middle of the best show.
Wait, no, that's AP Mike's song to the tune of Spooky. Now, here we go. Avalanche, there it is. Avalanche, now I see it. Okay. Here we go. Let's take a listen. I'm going to pick a shorter song, actually. Let's pick Rock and Roll to the Winter Olympics. That's better. That's right on theme. Here we go.
Jump on a board, because the boards are hot. We're going to the Olympics, and we're going to rock and roll all the way. Rock and roll all the way. Rock and roll.
That was Rock and Roll to the Winter Olympics by Avalanche Bob from his album High Power Snow Power to the Stars Protect the Earth. That's, yeah, there you go. That's good. I've heard, look, it was more rocking than, I hear some of these bands now. It was more rocking than a lot of the bands I hear. It's the dudes at 80. Still rocking. Right, Mike? I know, like that dude. That stuff you listen to. Stuff Mike listens to. Sounds very wet, the music Mike listens to. A lot of John Prine. What else are you listening to these days, Mike?
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Ah, the Lana Del Rey. Which album? The first one. The one with blue jeans and video games. Yeah, it's a good album. They're all good. Oh, let's take one more call, then I'll bring in MGMT. Who's good, Mike? Line one. Line one's hot tonight. Best Show, hi.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm good. To whom am I speaking?
My name is Tyler Smith.
Tyler, what's up tonight?
Well, I'm calling it. Well, first of all, I saw the radio show from MGMT's Twitter, so I'm a first-time listener.
Welcome.
But I searched on the internet. I did my research, and you were an executive producer on the show Monk, is what it's telling me.
Yeah, I was. How about that? Right?
I have to say that is one of my favorite shows of all time.
Well, that's sweetie to say. You and Damian Lillard.
Yeah, I know it's a generic question, but was it was it fun? Was it a good time? Or
yeah, sure.
I'm assuming it was.
Yeah, it's fun. It was fun. It's a fun time.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't watched it in a while because it was. I have the DVDs, so I don't really have a DVD player anymore. But
look, it was a fun time. Fun time. Look, I'm not gonna. Fun time. It was a long time ago.
I know. Unfortunately, it was, but. A great job in that, by the way. So,
Thank you, Tyler. Where are you calling from, Tyler? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Maryland, Westminster, Maryland. I'm a couple hours away.
All right, buddy.
MGMT, I'm going to come try to get on and ask him a question here. So I'm still listening.
Just tell me the question now. I'll ask them later because might not get there. What is it?
There is a website called Reddit.
Reddit.
I want to see if there's a thing called an AMA. So it's an Ask Me Anything.
Wait, Reddit. What is that now? Can you spell that for me?
Reddit is
R-E-A-D. R-E-A-D-I-T.
I got it. It's R-E-D-D-I-T.
R-E-A-D-D-I-T.
No A.
No A. R-E-D-D.
I-T.
E?
Yeah.
E?
R-E-D.
Help me here. No, let's start over. Back to the beginning.
R-E-A-D. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
No A.
No A. So R-A-D-D-I-T.
Yep. That's exactly right.
Now that's Raddit. Reddit. It says here R-E-D-D-I-T is Reddit.
Yes.
That's what I'm being told. And there's a thing called an AMA. Now, what's that?
Now, that is something where, a lot of bands and random people will go in there and a bunch of people can ask them questions.
Yeah.
There's an MGMT subreddit, so shout out to those people. We want them to come on and join up and we can ask them all questions.
Why don't you ask them one of them now?
Okay. Well, let's see here. Their favorite. See, these are so boring. But
favorite
songs to play.
Favorite song to play.
Yeah, let's go with that one. Favorite song to play.
Favorite song. I'll ask that later. Favorite song to play. All right. I'll ask them later what their favorite song to play is.
Okay, that sounds great. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course, my friend. Thanks
for
the call.
Well, you have a good night.
Okay. Goodbye. Come on, Mike. What are you doing letting that guy through? What's that? Yeah, you like Monk. Good. Well, what do you want to talk about? High school? You want to go for how much further back the guy wants to go? Past is the past. I did that already. I'm all about the future, Mike. Mike, I don't look back. I'm not nostalgic. You get it. Mike, can you tell Pat to bring in the guests, please? I'm being told they're here. And we heard, music-wise, we heard from the new MGMT. We heard the title track, Little Dark Age. So good. It's from their fourth album. Can't beat that. They're here. It's like real rock stars now. It's not just like, look, sometimes you hear these shows, they just, it's a, we're pulling from the bottom of the barrel sometimes. This is a top shelf guest. This is top shelf. This is the real deal, man. You get ready. Look at this. Look, one of you has been here before. What's that now? Hold on. Let's wait till the mics get set up. You've done. Yeah, we got Al Jardine playing here. Everybody gets to open a Beach Boys, wow. A pack like a, of Beach Boys
we
cards.
We met him once.
This looks like a nachos hat. Like a
you
hat.
Met Al Jardine?
Yeah.
Well, that's a question for the subreddit should have been asking. Which... All right, let's introduce everybody first. We have Ben. Say hi, Ben.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm really good. Thank you. Good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks good. For coming. Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Of course. Then we got Simon. You've been here before.
Yes, I have. Hey, Tom. Good to see you again.
It's good to see you again because people know you as Simon Doom.
Yes.
As well as Simon O'Connor.
That's wow. true. That's my...
Right.
You've got exactly. the best radio voice of us.
You think so?
Of the guests, yeah.
Well, so far, of Ben and I guess I do.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ben.
Yeah.
Will and it's I are going to fade off here.
Yeah, your voice is very, like, soothing. You could just say, like, say the thing, like
soap.
No, not soap. Say, like, you know, say something about, like, eat, like a sunrise, like, you know, seeing a sunrise in a Ford F-150.
kind of like that, You know what I just thought? You know what life is? It's those little things.
Yeah.
It's watching the dust rise.
You're like the new Sam Elliott. Dusk. Sam Elliott's shaking his fist at his computer right now.
Yeah, he is.
Or you're, yeah, you're coming up from behind.
He's been shaking his fist at his computer for a while.
You're going to start stealing his work. And we got Andrew. How are you?
Hi, I'm grand.
Oh, that's nice. Grand.
I haven't said that in years.
And then last, but certainly not least, Will. Oh, that mic's not working. Which mic is that now? Let's try that. Five?
Eight.
Two, three, four, five.
It's not working. Headphones.
Let's try that.
Eight.
No. It's not working.
All right, you got to get out of here.
Hear that mic? Hear that mic?
Techie D's.
Mike, what are we going to do, right? I'm going to do this to you, Pat.
We can share.
Pat hates. I'm not going to put you on the spot.
Oh, here we go.
There's a real. Stop it. Don't do that to him. What did you screw up? It's like a hornet's nest out there. These three guys hate each other.
Yeah.
And it's like a race to see who can put the other one down first. All right. All right, look. So MGMT, four-fifths of the band are here, right?
Yes.
Correct.
And you have a new record out now. Called Little Dark Age, true or false?
Not true.
True, that's true. Wait, no, it's not called Little Dark Age?
No, the
candles. Oh, okay. Sure. All right, you're out of here. These guys are tanking my interview. They're tanking it. I finally get some, this is A-list. And Mike and Pat and Dudio, they're conspiring to shame me. How do you think this looks for the subreddit? They're laughing at me right now. I'm a buffoon in front of the MGMT subreddit.
No, this is good for us. I mean, we don't get to do this.
Well, it's not like nobody's asking you. You're choosing not to do things like this. I'm sure you could be on a radio show every night if you wanted. Thank you for coming. Good night. What if I just, that's it. Thank you. I just wanted to verify the album's called Little Dark Age. Thanks to MGMT for swinging by. Now let's go back to open phones. Now the album is so great. It's the fourth album. and it came out last month. It's so good, and it's so, it's like, because each album's so different when you look at them in the scheme of things, and it's like, look, I'll talk about this album. You tell me whether I'm right or wrong. It's like sometimes it's like the feel comes first on the albums. This one, and then the songs reveal themselves. This one feels like the songs come first, and then you're like, oh, there's the feel. Like the feel shows up later, like as a whole for the album.
I like that. I just don't. I like the sound of that, but I'm not exactly sure what it means.
Well, it's sometimes you listen to the albums, and there's like the third album.
Uh-huh.
There's such a feel to that album.
Yeah, okay.
There's such a straight vibe from beginning to end on that album. And then you listen to it, and then the songs start to rise to the surface through that feel.
Right.
And start to distinguish themselves from each other. Then you start to become fans of the songs of it.
It's more feel forward.
Yes, but this time it feels like the songs are very, like the songs just pop right off the bat, and then you're like, oh, okay, now I see the flow of this thing, kind of listening to the album over and over. It's like, oh, now I see how this is an album, not just you guys throwing some songs down.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Simon, what do you think about that?
Well, I was absurdly uninvolved in the process, but I guess I'll talk about the whole thing.
You're better qualified then.
No, smart.
Oh,
yeah. Fart guy from that story I told in the Uber.
We
will not tell that story.
Okay.
I remember hearing the beginnings of songs, and I said, gee, hope they complete these.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were completed.
Yeah, we completed them. Ten of them.
Ten Jammeramas.
Yeah.
Will, what do you think?
Yeah, you guys completed
the S clearly. Okay, so let's just...
The album was finished.
So Andrew and Ben, you guys are the ones putting the albums, this last album together. It's
yeah, with a couple friends and collaborators. It was co-produced with Patrick Wimberly from the band Chairlift,
mm-hmm.
and we worked with Dave Fridman again, mixing,
mm-hmm.
and then we had like friends, Conan Moccasin and Ariel Pink and Josh DaCosta. We did a lot of it in Los Angeles where Ben lives.
Okay.
And people in Los Angeles like to get together in places and be social.
Because you can only do one thing a day.
Yeah.
Right?
So we had meeting time.
We only hung out for you, like when for your benefit when you came to
LA. Yeah, it was
people
good.
Don't actually hang out in LA.
What about it, like Mel's?
No, we do, like people just we stay home, and then like Pinks. When someone from New York comes to visit, then we're like, oh yeah, we want to make them feel like, oh, this is a really cool place. You should move here. So uh-huh. We're like, oh, we like arrange this thing where it's like, oh, look, we all hang out together, yeah. And it's fun.
And then you're like, oh, it was a trap the whole time.
Yeah, exactly.
And now you just don't want anybody
and
to
And I got trapped because somebody convinced me to do that, and uh-huh. Then I moved out there, and yeah. Then now I have to do the same.
And thing. Then there was a moment where you were just like, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
This was a trap the whole time.
Exactly.
But you're not supposed to tell people it's a trap.
Oops.
Yeah, you just ruined it.
Now they're going to... Now you're without a country. Now you can't go back. Where are you going to go now?
Elba.
Idris Elba. LA's going to be empty.
So you did the record in LA this time. Because you also... This is the second time you've recorded in LA?
A little New York, too. But we recorded Congratulations, the album, in California, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Well, now, with the cover of this record, what is the cover of it? Why do I feel like I've seen something that reminds me of the cover before?
It looks like the Home Alone DVD cover, or VHS.
Okay.
But it also looks like Edvard Munch's The Scream.
Uh-huh.
And it's from, a 1980s horror zine our friend found it.
All right. Maybe that's where I didn't think it was the Home Alone cover is why I was...
That wasn't the first intention with it, but... It works.
So, yeah. It's so good, and it's so, and people seem to like it, right? You're getting good response from it.
Yeah.
So the cover or the?
The whole thing.
The whole thing.
The whole thing.
I think so. It seems like a positive reaction is happening.
Mm-hmm. And is that like a, because look, I'll say this. You guys are 4-for-4 right now. You're 4-for-4. And anything else you've done. Perfect streak. Untouchable. But then there's people who are just like, finally, it's so catchy stuff again. It's like, what? First of all, if you listen to the other records, every one of the records has catchy stuff on it. It's like, how can you not think some of those things were catchy? But is it weird kind of like just being in a thing where it's like you're judged by your last thing and you're judged to very like...
We're judged by... We're always just put up against our first thing ever. Like it.
Yeah. You know,
it's like songs that we wrote when we were in college.
Yeah. So you two, Andrew and Ben, you were in college. You're making music. And...
Actually, we all went to the same college together.
We did.
How about that?
College buds.
College boys.
You're not going to sing the fight song, are you?
Wait.
When you're sad and you're alone and no one cares for you, you go to liberal arts school.
What are sports?
Sports are for men. Let's form a band. And use nothing that we learned in school.
No, that's the fight song. It's proud. Proud.
Actually, I just remembered the fight song, but I'm not going to sing it, but I do know it. Panini Beach Boys.
Oh, yeah, I know that. Panini Beach is the name of the
Panini. That's the name of the people that made these cards, Panini America.
So if you made this stuff when you're in college, halfway, it's because half the record is not half the record. So this is the stuff you were doing early. And it's like it's still... Look, and it popped, and it caught everybody's interest early, and then now it's just like you're being like it's like this ghost that follows you no matter what you guys do. You were followed by the ghost of your college songs.
That's true in some ways.
And there's something great about that, though. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. To make something that people like is fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good ghost in some ways.
Yes, but it's still a ghost. Because I'll say this, and I've said this 100 times to anybody who will listen, I say it, about Congratulations. This is maybe the best album of the 21st century.
I don't know if you have to go that far.
No, I'll say this. I talk about this album. We talk about them. You know Dan Behar, you know, from mm-hmm. Destroyer, right? Mm-hmm. I was talking to him, and we were talking, he's just like, I was talking about the John Cale show that I saw you guys at with him, which we can talk about in a little bit. But I said you guys were on the bill, and he said, he's like, that record, Congratulations. And I was like, yeah, I know, right? And he's like, that's like one of the best records I've ever heard. And I was like, yeah. And then we kept talking about it. Then at the end, he said that he actually, we both came to this conclusion that if that record had been successful, the world might not be in the hole it's in right now. Like, literally, if the world had properly embraced that record like they were supposed to, things would have just gotten better after that, and we wouldn't be where we are right now.
Oh, man, I don't even know how to respond to that. But
that might be the most flattering compliment I've ever heard.
We just do what the aliens tell us to do.
You're just do what the aliens. Hey, Dudio.
Yeah.
Can you put the air on? It's very hot in here. It's usually just me. I usually don't have rock stars in here with me. I'm sweating like an animal.
Taking up all the air.
No, it's a very stifling room. So.
That's seriously nice, though.
Yeah, right? But that's how I feel about... Look, that record... I'll stand by all four of the records. From beginning to end catalog, I'll stand by all four of them. Each one is its own thing, and they all add up to a larger thing, and it's all great. But the and I will also say, the time will vindicate that record. You will look back, and it will be cold comfort. But there will be a day when people go, we got this one wrong. Well, they won't say we got this wrong. They'll say they got this wrong. Everybody will blame everybody else and say they got this one wrong. It's the best.
Vindication. Oh, sweet, cold comfort. It'll be great.
It's coming. Look, somebody will write a 33 and a third about it, right?
Well, the making of it was really special. And unfortunately, we didn't document it at all.
Because you had Sonic Boom.
Sonic Boom was living. Yeah, we were all living in this house in Malibu, and we set up to record in the living room. And there was like a gazebo, and you know, like Anthony. I was getting the artist who did the.
I thought gazebos were extinct.
You're thinking of that band.
Okay.
The Anthony Ausgang did the cover. He was hanging out, and Jennifer Harima came up, and like a little guy. He wasn't little. A guy drove up from L.A. on a scooter with a backpack, and he would bring us weed, and it was fun.
Jennifer from Royal Trucks.
Yes.
Because she's on the record a little bit,
She sings on Flash Delirium, yeah.
Yeah. Because, so when you're going into making that record, congratulations. You have all the capital of this record that everybody loved, right? Now, how do you approach the second record? What's the mindset going into that?
I think we kind of deluded ourselves into thinking that we were just making a very straightforward, like we didn't think it was that much of a left turn.
Well, first we went to Glen Falls.
Glen
Falls. New York, which people don't
High Falls.
Talk about. High Falls. Not Glen Falls. High Falls, New York.
Okay.
Near New Paltz. And we holed up in a cabin in the winter, just me and Ben. And one time a bat got into the house. But then we were just kind of like, what are we doing here? We should be in California. And we went there.
It wasn't even us. It was like our A&R was like, I think she like came up and visited us and saw that we were sort of like, you know, huddled in front of a fireplace or something and just like clearly shell shocked. And she was like, maybe this would be good for you to go to California.
Cause you had just been on a roller coaster.
Yeah.
That you didn't see coming. Right.
That's true.
Because you're making this practice.
I don't even like roller coasters.
You don't even like, exactly. You're on one, and it's like, wait, I don't like roller coasters. That's happened to me before. I wrote a Ferris wheel once, and I was just like, and I like remembered how horrifying I think Ferris wheels are, and I like it went up. And suddenly I felt just like that stomach draw. I was like, oh, I don't like the angle this is at. Like that, when it goes outside of the thing and it's like the Ferris wheel's behind you, right?
Aren't like they building the world's largest Ferris wheel on Staten Island?
I don't know. I'll probably go on it because it's I'll like forget eight, yeah. that You'll, I hate Ferris wheels.
You'll see it
yeah.
from here.
And when the Ferris wheel came back down around, I like rather than just go to the kid who's operating it and just go like, "Hey, you can let me off this thing." Like I took my phone out and I like acted like I was, like, "Yeah, yeah, I'm on the Ferris wheel. Hold on, oh, you're here? Yeah, let me get over." Like say the like I'm like Mr. Business Meeting or something. It's like, "Hey, kid, I need to get off the Ferris wheel. Like I got to go meet my friend.
It's really important."
And then he like lets me off, and then.
You have tears streaming down your face.
Yeah, tears, yes. And then last May, I was down in Ocean City, New Jersey. It had been so many years since I was on a Ferris wheel. And they have like a huge one there. And I just finished writing this thing and I felt so triumphant. And I'm just like, I'm getting on this Ferris wheel. I'm going to beat my fear of Ferris wheels. Watch this. Because I felt like I had written this thing and I could do anything now. So I get on that Ferris wheel and immediately I'm like, oh, this is not good. I still am scared on a Ferris wheel. And then I did the same exact thing to get off of it and acted like I had a phone call. And then also the kid was clearly taunting me. He let me go to the last possible minute before he would have had to have made me do a full revolution.
Can't you
to let me off.
Can't you talk on the phone on a Ferris wheel though? Like what was the excuse?
I'm assuming I've got to meet someone.
Not his doctor.
You know those important boardwalk meetings that go on? You've heard Bruce Springsteen songs before. What? Ah, you're over at the funnel cake stand? Okay.
I guess they're late. I guess I'll just ride on the Ferris wheel while I wait for them.
Yeah.
I kind of had to do that at Disneyland when I was like, I bought a house in L.A. and I had to like close the deal on a house while I was at Disneyland and be like, skip out in between rides. Like, I have to take this important call and then like go on Splash Mountain.
Yeah. And you're just like, what? What's the closing date? Hold on. Goofy's hold on. In my face.
Yeah, hold on.
All right, hold on, Donald Duck.
I gotta have fun.
Yeah. Hold on, I'm eating a turkey leg.
So you're on this roller coaster, a metaphorical roller coaster. The music you made in college is now worldwide popular, and you didn't see that coming, right? How much of it was a shock when the band blew up?
It's hard to say now because it's been such a long time. But, you know, it wasn't like we had no thought in our head that it could possibly reach people and be popular. Mm-hmm. You know, we were
sure
making music that, people, because the song were popular at our college, even like on the campus.
Yeah.
So, you know, it wasn't like we were like completely denying that.
You won the battle of the bands.
Sure. We won the battle of the bands.
Well, was there an unreality that set in at some point where you're just like, no, this is inconceivable, though? It's one thing to have the music resonate with people. It's another thing to be just like, I didn't think we would be here all of a sudden. Like, this is just weird stuff.
I think I was in denial the whole time.
Uh-huh.
Like, I thought I was just having delusions that that we were actually successful. And that somehow I was just wrong about that or something.
Like psychotic delusion?
Yeah.
Whoa. I think when we played the huge festivals and we weren't really, we didn't like grind it out on the road for years.
Sure.
So we were like a karaoke band. And then we're like playing huge festivals and like our biggest singing inspiration was like Royal Truck. So we were like singing like like towards the end of 2008, we realized that wasn't appealing to a lot of people.
Like, this doesn't sound like the tape I heard. I saw them a month or so ago. They were so great.
They're so good.
Market Hotel.
Yeah, it's the best. They're coming back.
Yeah,
I can't wait. Think of it. Think of this with Neil Haggerty. Think of this run. It goes from Pussy Galore to Royal Trucks to Howling Hex. It's like 30 plus years. This dude's got an unbeaten streak for 30 years. It's like, it's inconceivable. He's never made one mistake. Right? Those Royal Trucks albums are all perfect. Every single one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Howling Hex. We saw them a lot.
Yeah. I remember he was playing through, was playing chords on a bass through like a Roland keyboard amp.
This is a really small amp.
And it was like overdriving this.
That was at the old Knitting Factory.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kind of just squatted for a while on the stage.
Remember our Royal Chuck's ripoff band? Or Accelerator, in particular, ripoff band.
Misogynistic Pineapple.
Misogynistic Pineapple.
What band is that?
That was,
it was one of our college bands.
Band? Okay. No.
No, I remember the show.
Yeah. I invited a girl I had a crush on. I said, I have this new band called Misogynistic Pineapple, and it was me, Andrew, Ben, and...
Jess.
And who was the singer?
Ingrid.
Yeah. And the girl I invited left after it was 16 seconds of music.
Well, we had that Sam and Dave cover.
Yeah.
It was pretty gross.
It was gross.
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't it fly these days?
That's sewer rock.
Okay. So you're moving from sewer. So it's a short leap chronologically from sewer rock to you guys playing festivals throughout Europe. And then you have all of that, though. And now you go, like, what's the mindset after you get out of the hole in the wall up in upstate New York or wherever that was to go make the second album?
Well, we went straight to we rented a house in Venice Beach, and it was just like a complete different world. We were really happy, and I don't know, we walked around a lot. We got really into just making what was like deep freeze mice. We were just like into making like the weirdest possible chord progressions. And I don't know. I got my ear pierced.
That's what happened.
Yeah. You did?
No, that was before. That was before I went to Transylvania.
How do I not know that you got your ear pierced?
In Venice, that's why I thought of it.
Okay.
Sorry.
So you go to Venice.
Yeah.
Get your ear pierced.
Yeah. It didn't heal all the way, though.
Okay. It's not good. Is it healed now?
Okay, I'd still now? Have a little, like, hole.
Okay. Let me see.
Even though they don't show, scars are so...
I don't believe you.
Johnny Thunders.
So you're making the second album, right? And when is it just like... whose idea is it to get Sonic Boom from Spaceman 3 on the production team?
That was kind of... Everybody just felt like that was the right thing to do. And he showed up. He showed up in a van. The first thing that happened is he pulled up in this van and got out, and a bottle of vodka fell out and broke on the driveway.
So it's like a parody of it's like a Cheech and Chong moment where the van door slides open and the vodka shatters in the driveway.
What's the Achtung Glass story?
What's that?
I remember that.
That was another time when he broke something and he didn't clean it up, but he just put a sign on the ground that said Achtung.
Wasn't it written in Sharpie on the back of a plate?
Yeah. On a dinner plate.
I'll take care of it.
So you're making this record, and when are you just like, is anybody saying like, hey, this is different than the first one?
Yeah, I mean, we invited, like, you know, our label, someone from the label would come and check in on us and kind of like, okay. And then one time Rick Rubin, who was the head of the something at the time, he came over and we played what we had done for him in the garage. He kind of was just like stroking his beard, like not really reacting.
Fondling his necklace and sitting on a couch in the garage listening to it and silently.
But I mean... It was not in a finished state, so to play a bunch of this stuff for somebody was kind of like, what are you guys doing? But I don't know. We finished it at Dave Fridman's again. He's kind of like the glue. He's like the fifth member.
Sure, he kind of...
Wait.
Sixth.
Seventh. Yeah. No, I'd say fifth. Okay.
Because look, I'm not going to harp on this thing too much, but it's like the record came out and then people did not seem to understand the record, the second record.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say it that way?
We did an interview with some like UK publication and they said, they asked like, how's the new record? Mm-hmm. And I said, it's terrible, just sarcastically. And then they have used that as a headline. And
yeah, that was good.
Yeah. And
that's... That's how you do it.
So, yeah, but then they're just like, hey, the guy said the record's terrible, but nobody was... But where's the disconnect on it? Just how can nobody... How could people not follow one to the other? Like, from where you're sitting, how did that disconnect happen?
I think judging from, like, the bands that people... I would see that people say we sounded like, and I'd be like, what? You know, and I think that from that perspective, then it would just seem like completely out of left field, like, what are they doing kind of thing.
Because were you listening to certain things going into that record that just was what you were pulling?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, like the Millennium and kind of like some sunshiny pop stuff, and obviously Surf's Up was a big influence. Sure. And then, like, yeah, this kind of weirdo English bands like Deep Freeze Mice and Monochrome Set. And I don't know what else. I mean, we had a breakfast meeting with Lou Reed to, because we wanted him to do spoken word over Lady Dada's Nightmare.
Uh-huh.
And he pretty much said, like, it didn't need it. And then he talked about how we also didn't need managers. And our managers were there.
so you wanted Lou Reed to do spoken word over.
Yeah.
Sonic Boom, really, he was kind of the instigator of that.
Maybe, yeah. Because, yeah. But that would at least we got to meet him. And then we saw him at the dog show.
We did.
With Westminster.
Yeah.
Dog
yeah.
Show.
One time.
You saw Lou Reed at the dog show.
Yeah.
We did. And it was, I think we found out it was like right after his dog had died.
I think it was just before.
Just I thought it was...
It's dark.
No.
The way I remember it was like somebody said like his dog had just died and he was like at the dog show like mourning. But maybe I made that up.
That was a fun day.
We got to like the Westminster parent show.
Your parent has died, sorry.
So he's super dark.
I can't even acknowledge. So he's at the dog show.
Yeah.
And is he just, like, cheering on certain dogs?
No, we saw him when we were entering. Oh! When we were entering, he was kind of sitting there.
Okay.
But we kind of, like, dressed up like dandies.
Mm-hmm.
We were, like, just being really silly. My friend had on a top hat, and I had, like, a velvet jacket and a scarf and gloves. And, you mm-hmm. know, I had a notepad. I was taking notes on the dogs. Okay. Remember we went to get Korean barbecue and... The waitress spilled a whole tray of raw beef on David, on his lap.
Oh, yeah.
So as if you were, a judge in exile?
Yeah, we were just having fun. We were in the nosebleeds.
Uh-huh. Lou Reed was not up in the nosebleeds.
No, I think he was probably courtside. No.
But you can still go. You can just hang out with the dogs, though.
Yeah, we went backstage.
Because you get to, like, watch them be, like, groomed and stuff, right?
Yeah, and you can, like...
You can meet the dogs.
Yeah, you can meet the dogs. Everyone's really friendly, and I don't know.
Now, who has a dog here? You have a dog.
I have a dog.
Ben.
What's your dog's name, Ben?
Freddie Mercury.
That's right. What kind of dog is Freddie Mercury?
Terrier mix.
Okay. How big?
He's 10 pounds.
Okay. Small dog.
Small dog. We put him in a bag.
Okay.
Carry him around in a bag.
All right.
In Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I should have brought my dog tonight.
You're such a cliche.
What kind of dog do you have?
A pit bull.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were looking for a pit bull, and then we ended up with...
It was a 10-pound. Yeah.
Both recording artists, Freddie Mercury and Pitbull.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes. Well, that would be a great record. So this record comes out. And again, I'm not trying to harsh your mellow here, because you're going to be vindicated in this story. This is the long game we're talking about. They're wrong. You're right. It hurt, right? When people are just like, man, we don't like this record.
I think it was almost comforting in a way. That feels... like a normal reaction. Like, we're like very self-deprecating people, so we're just like, oh, okay, this makes sense.
Yeah, of course you don't like it, because we're not nuts about ourselves either.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then, but what do you do to, like, when you, now you have to go back to the drawing board and do it again, is that in your mind now? Is it like, are there like little things hovering, like, to try to find the sweet spot the next time?
For the third record,
yeah.
We went in, we were write really simple pop songs, and like, this is going to be, you know, we're just going to strip it all down, and like, no, it's not going to be overproduced, it's not going to be like a studio record, it's just going to be raw, and then we did the exact opposite of that.
Uh-huh. And was there a moment when you're just like, I don't think we made the thing we thought we were making?
Sure, yeah. We didn't have any, like, illusions that it was going to be a commercial smash or thing.
But is there just a point where you're like, I guess we're all in that this is what this record is?
Yeah, I mean, it was almost kind of like, this is what the band is, you know? And, so, there was some points after our third record when I was kind of like, well, we did some stuff, and like, you know, maybe that's it, and then somehow... got together and started making...
As if it was just going to be three and out like that kind of thing?
Yeah, like, sort of. Or like, you know,
Well, what was the gap? Because there was about a 4-year gap there, right?
Yeah.
Between records?
Yeah. We took a year off.
Okay. And when was it clear you're going to do a record? Because you produced Simon's record. The two of you produced his record. So that's the first time you've produced together someone else's record. And how did that come about? Simon's great record. Why don't you plug your record?
Thanks,
Simon just asked
us. AB man.
Do you take Venmo?
No. We're just here for the art of it, Simon. You know that. So... Yeah, so how did that come about to work on his record together?
Well, you were kind of like playing me demos and stuff you were writing.
Andrew had just, so Ben had just moved to LA, and Andrew had just kind of completed his, or was working to complete his studio in his new house. And so I'd just go over there and play him stuff I was working on. We'd work on it. And then Ben came to visit, and I kind of played him some stuff, sent him some stuff, and, Ben said that he was interested in he wanted to, like, because Ben had produced the Karoma record.
Yes.
That we had done previously. And Ben was really interested in kind of, like, working on the record and producing it. And I mentioned that Andrew and I had already been, like, working together on this. So it kind of just made sense for these guys to do it together. And, yeah, so you guys, so then you came to New York and we recorded it really quickly. Like in 2 weeks or something like that.
Two days, pretty much, right?
Oh, yeah, it was 2 days.
Okay. It was like we did it in a weekend.
Yeah. I'm really young. Uh-huh. So a day is like a week for you. You're a year and a half older than me. But, yeah, and then you guys worked on your record.
Yeah.
And did that, so the two of you were working with Simon, and then you just kept going... On the fourth record, is that how that kind of flowed in from one to the other?
I don't remember what year. Yeah, it was.
We hadn't really like. I feel like that doing Simon's record was part of the inspiration for like, oh yeah, like we can
the entire inspiration.
Like, oh, like you can do that. You can just make a record in a weekend. Like that's like a, you know, it was very motivating.
And was that part of did that influence putting the new record together? Just like we can go. We can just boogie on this thing. We don't need to drag it out.
Maybe, but then it took a while for that to really sink in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we needed a lot of motivation. We're too hard on ourselves.
Uh-huh.
I think once we brought Patrick in to help produce the record, I think he's very positive. Like he's very, you know, be like, oh, you guys are doing great. Like, that was a really cool idea. And if it was just the two of us, we'd be like, oh, that was stupid.
You'd be.
I think we owe a lot to the place nearby where we recorded in L.A., where you go in and you select a 20-minute program.
Oh, yeah.
And you lay on a waterbed that bubbles and vibrates, and you listen to this kind of like hippie-sounding doctor take you on a little meditation journey.
It's Jeff, gone.
It Jeff closed, Bridges. Yeah. Close. It sounded like Jeff Bridges.
Did you ever listen to that Sleep record he did? Did you listen to that? Not the band Sleep, the Jeff Bridges Sleep.
Yeah, that was record. Like his, yeah. Jeff, that was when he signed the Squarespace records. Jeff Bridges did a Super Bowl commercial or something.
Yeah.
It's like, drag my album out.
Yeah. You want to sleep? I'll put you to sleep.
And so was you laying... Wait, you're on waterbeds?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there's kind of like... There's different meditations you can select. And they put like maybe like an essential oil on a towelette. And they put it on your forehead. It's really great.
Is there privacy to it? It's not just... It's
sorry,
like
it's
a
like they draw a curtain around you.
Kind of like an army hospital.
Okay. So just cots laying everywhere.
And they move. Like there's this thing that like kind of undulates like while you're lying there.
A lot of people screaming with severed limbs getting wheeled through.
That's a part of the... It's like... That's why I think with virtual reality, I think the thing is like... As long as people feel stupid doing it, it's not going to work. As long as you're like putting the things on and then like people are watching you go like... it's not going to succeed as long as people feel self-conscious about... The experience, because they can never completely just let go. And it's like, you're also worried, like, this might be more my personal thing. You're like, you're worried somebody's going to, like, punch you while you have the goggles on or, like, go behind you, like, on all fours and let you fall over backwards.
It's all like an elaborate prank.
Yeah.
Just to get you.
Because then you're just, like, walking around. You're so vulnerable with those things.
Yeah,
on.
It's about totally vulnerable.
Like, that's the... Can you see any... Because that's, like, laying on some bed with a thing. I'd just be worried somebody would be staring at me.
They had a little curtain.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Tom.
You're with me.
I could never do anything like that.
Well, how about, like, sensory deprivation tanks? Have you?
Oh, yeah.
Who's been in a sensory deprivation?
I've looked at them for private purchase, too, but they're quite expensive.
Uh-huh.
They make inflatable ones.
Inflatable.
That aren't as expensive, but, like, the ones that look like giant space pods, the isopod.
You're not worried you're going to get locked in that thing? I'm not going to worry somebody puts a stick in the thing and you're just, like, pushing.
Like, altered states?
Yeah. Let me out! I'm still in here!
You ever go to King Spa, the Korean spa up near, where is it, like...
No.
Hoboken,
that's the
I
one
guess.
Where you can get into the pizza oven.
You can get into a room that's like hot enough to fry an egg.
You put a burlap sack over your head and you get into an oven.
But they have this one room that's like this infrared thing, and you put like, I think it's just your feet are under like an infrared lamp, and there are all these like giant crystals in the room, and it seems like I'm not like. You know, woo-woo, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's something about this room that you go into it and you feel really strange. Like, there's something that happens in there.
It's like a pizza oven with crystals?
No, that's a different room.
Okay. My favorite room is the one that's just, like, it's the ice room. And it feels like you're kind of in, like, a garage in northern Minnesota or something.
No, see, I like the sound of that.
And where is that? Where is this?
It's near
the Lincoln Tunnel.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't like to be hot. I feel more relaxed if I was rained on in a field.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of, maybe it's an Irish thing.
You should move
thing.
To Ireland. Sure. Go back to Ireland.
You've been waiting to say that to me for years.
On the hotline here, we have one of your, is this James? Hi.
Hey, what's up?
Hey,
James.
What's going on? Is this the best show?
It is.
Yeah.
Oh, right on.
Is this the
first
AMA?
First time caller, long time listener. Am I coming through okay, boys?
Yeah.
You sound great.
Sorry, boys. It's a little late tonight. I got yellowish to the gills digging on a 79 shakedown, man.
Yeah. What
couldn't make it over there, man. What are you guys up to over there, man?
Just catching
What's
up.
What's going on, man? I'm out here looking like a sticky bandit who's just got electrocuted. Does that make any sense to you? Oh, man. Dude, this is so cool. First time caller.
Wow. Yeah.
Everybody there? You guys all there?
They're all here.
Wow. I saw you guys back in Red Rocks.
James.
So this is the AMA? The AMA has begun?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if I can. If that's okay with you guys.
Well, sure. Let's get it started. What's your favorite song to play? That was the question from the AMA.
Man, I mean, back in 82, it would have been like, I don't know, like... I mean, I always liked Black Throated Wind, but then, you know, going into, like, you know, Shakedown into Fire, probably. Or maybe, you know, Scarlet into Fire would be better.
Yeah.
Wait.
Mike out there is doing a dance right now. Right, Mike? You get this, right? That's Mike's language.
Is he a deadhead?
Mike is a huge deadhead.
Oh.
Mike, what's your favorite show? What's your favorite show?
I like 11-11-73.
What happened on that day?
Interesting choice.
They didn't play? That would be my favorite show. It was an off night.
Oh man, that's hard.
They were, yes. They all went to see The Sting that night. What's that, Mike? What?
Oh, Sting, I know that guy.
Come in here, Mike. I can't hear you through the door. For the love of Pete, just get in here.
There was no Donna on that show.
No Donna. Mike hates good. Donna and Keith.
And no Mickey Hart either. Just Mike, one drummer.
Mike hates... Least favorite member of the Grateful Dead, Mike, is Donna... Donna?
No, Donna Jean.
The least... Brett Midland.
Brett Midland, okay.
Whoa!
Mike hates Brett Midland. He hates Donna Gottschalk and Keith Gottschalk.
What about Vince Welnick? What about Vince? He's a goat or what? True or false? He's a goat.
Unlistenable.
Mike says Vince Welnick is unlistenable. He hated him when he was in the Tubes. He hated him when he was in the Grateful Dead.
Oh, man. Another talk.
It's rough out there. How about Pigpen? You a big Pigpen fan, James?
That's before my time.
Well, all of this is before your time. The show from 73? That's before your time.
How old do you think how old do you guys think I am?
24?
Man. Oh. Man, must be all the tanks, man. It's keeping me young. I don't know. Hey, how come you guys don't play Metanoia anymore?
That's for the real deep fans.
Yeah.
We played it in Detroit one time.
Oh, yeah, Detroit, right on.
No, you were there.
What?
Yeah.
So he played.
Oh, man, no, I remember that, man. I was higher than Giraffe Titties off that A1 Jerry Sauce, man.
James, are you bummed that we sold out on this record?
You sound like our old tour manager.
Oh, man. What are you talking about? Trey?
Yeah, you sound like Trey.
Am I not Trey?
You sound like Trey, dude.
Hey, remember you passed me that sweet breath, man? Later on, the Deansters? That's probably why I don't remember it.
Now, were you when you were on SNL and you were doing that bug-eyed thing, what was that all about?
I'm not familiar with this. What are you
were going for it. You were going for it, right?
I was thinking about that today, actually.
Scene stealing. That's some straight-up scene stealing.
Well, you know, that's why, you know, I mean, look around you. I don't know who you see who's there. You know, you know what I'm saying? Like, they don't like me around there because I do bug-eye things too much. You'll steal a show. Basically. No, I don't know.
You wore a suit of armor yesterday.
Like, yes. On Colbert, you were wearing, it looked like you were turning into an android. Like you were, like you were being transformed and then had to play the show.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that was about, man.
That's the news.
I looked at that today. It looked really weird. Like, I don't know. I think it's like a, you know, I wanted it to be more futuristic and have more LED effects, but it didn't come out that way, so it ended up just kind of looking like it did.
Yes. Well, it was awesome.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Oh, look. Thanks.
Well, actually, you're the only one who said it. Thanks, man.
All right.
You're the only one who said that. Well, hey, let me ask you guys some MDMT questions since I'm...
Okay.
Since I'm here. We were just talking about it. What the heck is a Grutu anyway?
Grutu?
Yeah, what is a Grutu? Is that like Bluetooth?
I don't know. Ben, you can answer that.
It was like just a nonsense word that, you know, like when you ever do that when you name something, you name a file on your computer and you just type like a nonsense, some nonsense syllables, and it doesn't mean anything?
I know. I always wanted to know that.
Thanks, James.
Let's see. Hey, you guys, how come you guys don't ever play, how come you guys don't play any of that old stuff anymore?
We do. We still
Wait,
play
you
it.
You mean kids?
Yeah, chief among them, yeah.
Is it raining, James?
Why? Does it sound bad? Is it sound weird? Hold on, I don't think I'm on, am I on speaker? Hold on.
No, it sounds fine.
Okay, cool.
That? Yeah, I hear that.
There's like, we're being... Did you hear the rain, Tom?
The rain? No, I don't hear the rain.
That's okay.
Have you ever heard the rain?
Next question.
In the rain.
What's the next question? Rain.
Okay, yeah, let's see. Next question. Let me see here. Let's see.
Really getting loud.
How come you guys don't play Wolfman's Brother anymore?
Give me a break, man.
Let's see. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have too many questions left. Let's see. Oh, man. Simon, what's it like taking over for Cactus?
You know what? Struggle.
But
just use it, Bill.
At least I got a couple pleasers.
That's cool, man. I remember when I saw you back at that Twiddle show, a Modell. Funkiest barefoot bass player I've ever heard. Echoes of Luton for sure, man. Glad to have you with the group for sure. You guys like Mo?
I can't get a break at this place. It's Jersey Mike's. The guys, I tell them I want it Mike's way. Mike, what is Mike's way? Hey, Ernie. What? Ernie, who's good here? You're listening? Oh, shut up. 3. All right, let's go to line 3. The number's 201-332-3484. We're talking about sandwiches, finally getting to it. You're on, I'll shut up. Who would have got? Hey, you're on! Hey! You're on the show! Hey, Ernie, what are you doing to me? What? There's nobody there! Alright, so I'm going to get the sandwich. And the guy starts wrapping it up. And he's put these peppers on, the pepper spread. And I'm like, I wanted extra pepper spread on it. And the guy's like, well, you got an extra. I'm like, oh, shut up! He said, that's Mike's way. And who's Mike? So the number 201-332-3484. All right, we got line 3. All right, you're on the show. Welcome to Our Shut Up. Who do we got?
I am in Tampa. How do you pick the amount of oregano to call someone to put on a sandwich? How do you tell them?
How much oregano to put on?
Wah-wah.
Wait, a Wawa what?
Okay, so Wawa what? They say a little bit of oregano, a little bit of like oil, a little bit of vinegar.
Yeah, on the
how
screen.
Do you say the right
they
amount?
Got the touch screen now, right? You can't talk to anybody there. Can't tell them what to do with it.
Screen.
You gotta do a touch screen. What is this, 2001?
It's frustrating. It's so frustrating.
So you had a little bit of oregano, and then what's that mean? You go there and they're making the sandwich, and then I go to Wawa, I press the thing, I talk to it, it's like I'm talking to Hell 9000, and then the sandwich either takes 10 minutes or they put it on the thing and it's done. I'm like, what do you mean it's done? I wanted to ask you to do it. It's like, no, your sandwich is done. 2-2-1. And I'm like, well, shut up. I wanted to see how much oregano you're putting on. Is that what you're saying?
I feel your pain, your lack of spice.
Yeah. All right, so I got guests in the studio here. Ernie booked these guys. It's a rock group. And you guys are what? McGimmint? What is it?
Megamint.
Megamint. So we got Megamint in the studio. All right. Honestly, hey, Ernie, what do we got calls? These guys are going to be duds. What do we got for calls? Line 3 again. Yeah, you're on. You're on, I'll shut up. With me and Megamint. Hey! You're on! What are we doing here, Ernie? Come on! Line 5. 3-5? What? Hike! You're on.
Yeah, this is Matt in Montclair. How you doing?
Good, Matt. What's up?
You know, I've been thinking a lot about our call the last time. I called last time, and I'm thinking, you know, well, what about a panini? A panini's a good sandwich.
Panini, okay, let me put this to Megamint to see what... Panini, is that a sandwich?
Not totally.
Is
it a good sandwich?
Well, how's it not a sandwich? It's basically a sandwich squished down between two fries.
The bread should be cooked when you make the sandwich.
A sandwich can't include a sandwich.
Cooked bread!
Yeah.
So wait...
I think you guys are wrong there. I'm going to tell you to shut up.
Well, look. What's your name again? Hey. What's your name? Caller.
He's gone.
He's gone. All right, so you guys have a record out now called LDA. Right?
Yeah.
What's that like?
It's like a panini. In some ways.
The record's like a panini.
It's like a sandwich inside of a sandwich.
Great. Ernie, what are we doing here on the calls? Line 3. Okay, you're on. Hey, you're on. Oh, shut up. What are we doing, Ernie? Come on. You're killing me. So, Megamint, the record's called LDA. What kind of music are you guys?
Rock.
Okay, like rock, like what? I'm more a fan of like John Cafferty and stuff like that. Is that what you guys sound like?
Occasionally. Kind of like Flock of Seagullsy.
Oh, boy. Flock of Seagulls. Thanks, but no thanks. We went through that once already. No offense. I'm sure Megamint are great, but thanks, but no thanks. Ernie, what are we doing here? So sandwiches for the band. What's your favorite sandwich?
Cheeseburger.
Cheeseburger. That's not a sandwich. Come on.
Ben.
Taco?
No.
Just kidding.
Not even.
Taco? Burger? What? You're on, I'll shut up. Who do we got?
Jersey.
No thanks. Jersey, what are we doing here? Yeah, that's me. Come on.
The sandwiches for the band. What's your favorite sandwich?
Why am I hearing myself? That's horrible.
It's not a sandwich? Come on.
Hello, yes. You're on, I'll shut up.
Yeah, are we talking about sandwiches still?
We are, yes. Come on.
Okay, I have a question for MGMT regarding sandwiches.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I know it's one of the MGMT Ten Commandments not to eat at Subway.
Yeah.
What's that about?
My least favorite restaurant.
I disagree.
One of you likes it, one of you doesn't. Like, what about you, caller? Where are you at on Subway?
Subway, I mean, it's okay, but, like, I just want to know what Andrew's beef is with Subway.
It's the smell of it.
So you go to Subway, you know, you go in, you don't like the sub smell from the street.
No, I would never go inside. You walk past it on the sidewalk and they blow the air out of the vent onto the sidewalk.
Yeah. You don't like that.
That's how they get you.
It's actually just a man who ate a Subway sandwich breathing.
Oh,
they hire a guy to constantly eat and breathe under the street.
Definitely. What about you, Claude? Where are you at? Wait, that's me. One time I go to Subway, I'll tell you this. I go to Subway and I'm trying to order a thing, and then they're just like at the spiced. Everything they're trying to do spiced. I'm like, well, I don't want spiced. Spiced ham. I don't want spiced ham. The guy's like, well, that's a special. We get spiced. And I'm like, oh, shut up!
Shut up! Shut up!
Ernie, what's the deal? These guys are killing me in here. Why'd you book these guys? You can't get me John Cafferty? Ernie, how we doing with the Cafferty booking? Yeah, but you get me Migment in them. What is it again? What? Monument? All right, you, what's the deal with sandwiches?
Me?
Yeah.
You know, they're better than just eating, you know, just meat without any bread, right? I don't know.
What's your favorite sandwich?
I like a roast beef with onions and a bit of mayo.
Onions and mayo?
Just onions and mayo.
What's wrong with you?
Just onions and mayo.
Shut up!
What? Three. 333. You're on, shut up. Hey, you're on. Come on! You're on! Ernie, you're killing me. First you book these duds, then you can't get live. Everything's on line three, but nothing's working on line three. Oh, I'm going to slide someone else in the chair. Bad showing from Ernie tonight. Bad showing, Ernie. I mean, and Miggy, so you guys don't like Subway? None of you like Subway?
No, Will does.
Will. Will. So what do you get when you go to Subway?
Why are you throwing me on the bus here?
He gets an erection.
Funny.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Stronger than dirt.
in studio, MGMT, and they have a new record out called Little Dark Age, and it's pretty clear that you guys have some, there's a prog influence in the music of MGMT. I would like you to expound on that, please.
You can say that again.
So, Ben, please tell me about your earliest progressive rock experience.
Well, the first concert that the first rock concert I ever went to was Adrian Belew, who is the singer of King Crimson. I don't need to tell you this.
I believe it would be King Crimson. That's for the for Discipline and Beat and Three of a Perfect Pair.
Exactly.
And he did come back for Thrack in the 90s for the double trio lineup. So you saw Adrian Belew in concert, and what was that like?
It was great.
Like what?
It was a real seminal moment for, you know, my budding musical career.
Because you had been listening to what kind of music before that?
I think I was taking jazz piano lessons.
And so then you heard that, and then is that when you decided you wanted to play more rock-based music than jazz-based?
Yeah, but with, you know, incorporating influences from classical and jazz and, like a futuristic, you know, blend of all of those influences.
Sure. And what was the first prog rock album that you purchased?
It was Discipline by King Crimson.
Yes, which is the classic reestablishing of King Crimson in the 80s. Everybody knows the lineup with Adrian Belew and Robert Fripp and Tony Levin playing the Chapman stick and the traditional four-string bass.
You know, Bill Bruford was not allowed to play cymbals on that record.
That was the record where Robert Fripp did say there would be no cymbals on the record. And it was the double guitar. And if you notice Robert Fripp's playing, he readjusts his playing to be complementary to Adrian Belew's playing, which was not always where he was at. So that was the first prog rock album. Now, Andrew, are you a fan of prog rock?
Somewhat, a little. Ben and I would listen to prog rock in college a little bit.
Like, what would you listen to?
Well, along with King Crimson, I don't know. Can you consider Jeff Beck to be progressive?
I think there's elements of it. He's breaking away from the blues-based structure of things that was a part of him being in the Yardbirds, and starting to spread out on records like Beck's Bolero and.
We liked Wired. That was a big one for us.
I think there's elements because it's definitely starting to shed the, like I said, the blues foundation.
Yeah.
I do want to mention that I saw King Crimson back on November 15th of 2017 at the Capitol Theater in Port Chester. And this is my show review for it. It was an outstanding show. They opened with Lark's Tongues and Aspic Part 1. Then they went into Neurotica, which is an adjusted version, because, as you know, Adrian Belew is not in the current band, so they do a more melodic version going against Belew's more jarring, angular, Talking Heads influence. Circus. They did Lizard. Construction of Light, only Part 1, Epitaph. Then they did one of the newer pieces, Radical Action, to unseat the hold of the monkey mind. Then they did The Errors, then Lark's Tongues and Aspic Part 2, Islands, and they ended with Indiscipline again. Bandit, you'll know, is one of the pieces from Discipline. But in a restructured form.
It's really good memory of a set list.
Sounds like a good show.
And that was then there was an intermission for 15 minutes. Will, from MGMT. Yeah. But you also play with other people as well. Who's the most progressive artist you've performed with?
That would probably be Craig Finn.
From The Hold Steady.
Yeah. His solo stuff is very deep. frog.
Like what? Like influence. What? In what vein? Who would you say it brings to mind most?
You know, like the McDonald and Giles.
Sure, the Fripp McDonald Giles, the early lineup when he was.
It's a big
pre-Crimson.
It's almost like Craig's just taken a page from that.
When I listen, yes. So that's the most progressive artist you've performed. What's the first progressive rock album you purchased?
Siamese Dream.
That's by the Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah, is that?
I would say that doesn't exactly qualify as prog rock in the pure form.
Why not?
But maybe in its attempt at being expansive, it does.
Oh, okay.
Now, what is the most prog song that MGMT has done?
Metanoia?
Yeah.
Metanoia, which is a 10-inch, one-sided record.
Yeah, that's
right. A limited release.
Mm-hmm. Carl Jung on the cover.
Carl Jung on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
That's wearing a referee's outfit.
Yeah.
And let me just also say that after the 15-minute intermission, King Crimson came back on stage and played Hellhounds of Crim into Discipline. They did Breathless. Then, of course, Starless, which is the classic song from the Red album. Moonchild from the first album, In the Court of the King, Crimson King, followed by the title track of that album. Then Easy Money, also from Red. No, that's from Lark's Tongues and Aspic. Then Radical Action 2, Level 5, and for Encore, they did Heroes, the David Bowie cover, and then ended with 21st Century Schizoid Man. And how much of an influence did you say on this most recent album, Little Dark Age, someone like Kevin Ayers, with his sort of structured British pop prog is on the album?
I think that definitely on a song, on like When You Die, we were thinking of Kevin Ayers a bit on the chorus of that song, and maybe even like When You're Small, like a little kind of feel. But I don't know. What do you think?
It reminds me of Joy of a Toy to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
I hear that. Where are you at on Bill Nelson, Bebop Deluxe?
I find myself admiring his technique, but I find that sometimes his music is trapped. It's neither here nor there, if that makes sense.
What about Aphrodite's Child?
That's the band that everyone knows, Vangelis' band,
mm-hmm.
with the keyboardist, and it was a successful Greek trio. I'm a huge fan of them, especially their final album is a psych prog masterpiece, some would say, including myself. So, if you were to put together a prog rock super group, who would be in the group? Everybody names a member.
I would want Tim Coe to play bass.
Who's Tim Coe?
He played bass with Ariel Pink for a while, but he's really adept at going all over the place. And, you know, good with very strange changes and stuff like that.
You know, you could put Tony Levin on bass as
Maybe
well.
Tony Levin, yeah.
You don't have to have Tim Coe as
he
the bass player.
That's a cheap shot.
For your prog rock super group. No offense to Tim Coe, but I don't know if he plays a Chapman stick.
No, I haven't seen him play a Chapman stick.
Who else would be in the group?
Who's the guy who played the like rattling chains on Lark's Tongues and Aspic?
What's David Cross.
Wasn't that
not
was
the comedian David
player.
Cross? No, David Cross. Yes, it was the percussionist.
The
you're right.
It was
my apologies.
What was his name? I don't remember that guy.
Yes,
he should be in it.
Yeah.
If you watch the video of the German television performance, he's the guy throwing leaves.
Mm-hmm.
While Bill Bruford is wearing a Boston Bruins jersey because the hockey team had the same initials as him. So he took to wearing Boston Bruins gear.
The Boston Brufords.
The Boston Brufords. Will, who would be in your prog rock supergroup? Guitarist. Let's think along the lines of guitarist. Steve Howe.
My prog rock, my encyclopedic knowledge of prog rock.
That's okay. Way. Never mind. Ben, who would be the guitarist in your prog rock supergroup? You might say Adrian Blue because it was in your formative years. But that you don't have to say Adrian Blue.
No, the dude from Porcupine Tree.
Stephen Wilson.
Yeah, Stephen Wilson.
Where does Bill Laswell fit into all this?
Bill Laswell, I think, is more art rock.
Okay.
And New York in experimental.
Gotcha.
Although when you think about it, Robert Fripp, after he left King Crimson, moved to New York and produced records by Daryl Hall and the Roaches.
Yeah, I love the Roaches stuff that he did.
And he was one of the first people from the progressive rock, if not the first person, to defend disco as a cultural movement as well. And played guitar on David Bowie's Heroes and Scary Monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Very influential. Simon, who would be in your prog rock supergroup?
Bazio.
Bazio. Who's
Hell
Bazio?
Yeah.
Terry Bazio.
Oh, Terry Bazio from Frank Zappa's band.
Yeah, and Missing
Persons.
Missing
Persons.
Yeah.
His wife, Dale Bazio, was the lead singer.
Yes.
So you'd put him in?
Put him on the drums.
What about Warren Cucurillo, who went on later to play with Duran Duran and helped write their song, their comeback hit, Ordinary World?
Oh, he played the guitar solo on Ordinary World, right?
Yes, he co-wrote
really?
The song.
I was just talking about this guy with Ilya. But isn't he, he's kind of like InfoWars-y now, I think.
I don't know. I tend not to pay attention to the political side of prog rock. That's the beauty of it. That when you're singing about withered, you don't have to think about the real world, which is nice.
And you're online at Whole Foods, and the person is just like, my bag is in the car. I don't want to have to pay for an extra bag. And then it's like, well, maybe you should have thought about that before you went into the store. Well, you got to bring your bag in if you don't want to have to pay for a bag. When you go to the, you know you're going to check out, right? I'm here with MGMT, and we're talking about, well, it was a little diversion talking about shopping at Whole Foods, but the new album is called Little Dark Age, and it's very exciting, and people can't get...
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Can't get enough.
You need a burp filter.
So when I saw you dudes play... I realized, you know, I saw you dudes open for Paul McCartney.
Oh, wow. At
Fenway, right?
I didn't know that.
Right? Yeah. Isn't that? Does that make sense?
That's where it was.
Yes. It was kind of a quick.
Kind of uncomfortable.
Was it?
Yeah. It's a large venue. Yeah. Opening up for Paul McCartney. Yeah. Lots of seated people getting adjusted. And we shook his hand. Only vegan food backstage.
He had a really good handshake.
Really?
Yeah.
Must have been just yours.
Yours was not good?
No, it was one of those ones where I was like, he wanted to touch my hand for as short of a time as possible.
Oh, wow.
Is that the worst handshake you've ever gotten by someone you respect? Worst handshakes. Let's talk, because I have a good one that no one believes was. What's the dead fish handshake? That's the worst of all the bad handshakes, right?
I've gotten a dead fish from a very prominent person, but I don't want to say it.
Well, I'll say mine.
Okay.
Was Michael Shannon gave me, yeah, like the toughest guy going. I was at a thing, and then someone was just like, hey, this is my friend Tom. And he's like, yeah, you do. And I always know when they, because we did a thing, Rock Rotten Rule. Whenever somebody says it, but they say it wrong, it's like, you did rule rock rot thing. And then he reached his hand out, and it was the deadest of, it was almost like royalty, kind of like.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It's yeah.
Like as dead as his eyes.
Like, kiss the glove. Kind of,
yeah. That kind of just like I'm just putting a corpse. Yeah.
I shook Keith Richards' hand once, and it was like that. But that may just be the way his hand.
That might be where he started dying.
Yeah.
Actually, best, from the fingers.
Yeah. Best celebrity.
The fingers in.
Yeah. Best celebrity handshake. Tony Bennett.
Tony Bennett.
Yeah. Whoa. Really good handshake.
And is it
his
a
big
firm,
hands? Boom. Big hands, and it's just like. Solid handshake.
Because he's trying to just show you, he's just like, I'm still here and I'm not going anywhere.
But it was friendly. It was like an
it's name of his last album too.
It was like a friendly, like welcoming handshake. It wasn't like a I'm the boss kind of thing.
Okay, it was just like a hey, we're living
totally,
life,
totally
feeling
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Will handshakes?
Oh my god, it keeps surprising me.
Because the thing is, you play. Let's talk about you for a minute, Will. I know you're a drummer, and you're like hiding out in the background, right?
Yeah,
behind your
I love that.
Your wall of equipment.
Well, now
there's no drums on the side, now. But, yeah. There's no drums now.
Circles of sheet metal.
Yes. Who have you played with? You play with so many because you're in Caroma,
right?
Just another band. Yeah. I love who I've
drums.
We've played a bunch
Caroma.
Here.
I was playing guitar with Simon for a little bit.
It's true.
Played on the
last
album.
Last two shows. Played on record.
And I played during the last two shows as well.
Sure. I saw you with the giant dog at the at the record store there.
Old Rough Trade.
Yeah, the Rough Trade store. I almost said Virgin. And I was like, that was not, you were not in Times Square 11 years ago.
I was in the CD video. Booth just listening to the, you know, the new Tool record.
I played, I've been playing bass with Craig Finn.
Yeah.
Some tours.
Craig's a nice guy. He's a talented
guy. He's a great storyteller.
Yeah.
What else? I don't know. Just this here and there, this and that.
You've done some soundtrack stuff, right?
I did a sci-fi movie called Jackrabbit.
Uh-huh.
It came out in 2015. It's on Netflix. Check
okay.
it out.
It's a good movie.
It's all just synth.
All right.
Analog synth sounds soundtrack.
Okay.
I've been producing some bands. Couple bands from Argentina.
All right.
Will speak Spanish.
You do?
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Okay. Look.
Anyway.
Don't worry.
About me.
You're off the hot seat,
you
Will.
Asked.
I did ask. Look, I asked.
I don't know what if I'm supposed to be trying to be funny.
No, you're not. You're just here to be yourself.
All right.
Don't worry, you're not trying to be funny.
Just be your non-funny self.
Yeah. So the thing with the new record, and when I saw you guys last summer at the, was that the Panorama Festival? Is that what that was called?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
On Rikers Island, I
believe. Yeah. That's
That was, and when I had left that show, I got lost. I was walking around that island for 2 hours trying to find my way back across the bridge, and it got so dark so quickly. Suddenly, I'm just like,
you're surrounded by water.
Yeah, and no one. Anytime I would ask like any kind of official person, like, where should I go? I'm like, I don't know. It's like, well, you don't know where. Wait,
this really happened.
This really happened.
Were there other people like you who like? It seems like that.
There were a few people, a few stragglers that would see each other every once in a while, like. Did you figure out the way off of this island yet? It's like, no, you didn't. You're still here. It was nuts how it just shows, like, leaving this festival, which for people who don't know, New York City, there's this island. What is that island called? Randall's Island?
Randall. From the famous Randall.
And there is a prison on it.
Yes, there was, like, some sort
of. There still is, I think. You notice behind the stage.
Uh-huh.
There was a large building with.
Is that an active prison?
It's an active prison.
Oh, and I might not have roamed as freely as I was. So you were playing there in this festival, and I'm like, I'm going to get a jump on things and get out of here, beat the traffic, and not watch Frank Ocean. And then I think I was there well after everyone was done playing, walking around, because I kept going out into the darkness. And finally some dude in a golf cart helped me out. He's like, all right, get in the golf.
He wasn't even working at the festival.
Yeah. No, he wasn't. He was just like a parks guy.
He's back in your cell.
Because he was like, go that way. And then he saw the look on my face. He's just like, do you want me to drive you to the... I was like, yes, please. Can you drive me to the stairs? Yeah. But when you were there...
Yes.
Does not impact that 15-minute version of me being lost. Does not have bearing on this. The stage show was... Those screens were huge.
Those are the biggest. That was maybe the biggest stage I've ever seen. I tried to take a photo of it. It didn't translate. How big it was.
Bigger than photos. Yeah.
And there was a lot of cell phones going on the screen.
Really?
No, you had cell phone. Like a lot of, wasn't there? There's a lot of cell phone.
That's probably,
images. Of
yeah,
cell phones.
I bet. I don't remember. I usually don't.
We can't see the screen.
Usually have eyes closed or.
Uh huh.
Not looking at...
Well, trust me.
Behind me.
But then there's a lot of cell phones on the new album also.
Yeah, there's some nice kind of out-of-touch person talking about modern technology kind of thing, which we like that vibe.
To kind of break away from technology a little
bit.
No,
we like technology. I think it's just more like the sort of like adult perspective.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, get off my lawn kind of... Mm-hmm. Yeah, memory almost.
We're just like, what are these kids doing these days?
Uh huh.
Memory almost full. Tummy almost full.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, who's good here?
Two.
Because I see some sad person on Twitter has been on hold for a very long time. Hi.
Hey.
Your wait is over.
Wow, that's awesome. Thank you so much.
Who's this?
This is Melissa Kramer. I'm a huge fan of MGMT, and I go hang out with the guys all the time at their DJ events. So.
Yeah. How's it going?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Good. Are you still writing about baseball?
Yeah, man. I'm at a newspaper in Long Island. It's the biggest one on the island. I'm doing high school sports now.
Nice.
Yeah, speaking of which, I was actually going to ask you, it's a cliche question, but do you guys have any advice on writing at all? I know you guys write music, but I write stories. Is there anything that you would recommend to do while writing? If you're stuck, anything you can give me would be awesome.
Oh, I don't know. As a musician who gets interviewed and there's articles that come out, I think it's frustrating when journalists don't do any research and they just kind of copy what they read somewhere else. So it doesn't take much effort at all to really stand out, I think, these days. But if it's about high school sports, I don't know.
No, I got you. That's great advice. It's the same thing, really, for all journalists. If you're writing about sports or music, and I always take the time to do 110% and do my research beforehand. So I'm completely with you, Andrew.
Oh, great.
Yeah, and I had a silly question for you. I blast a little Dark Age in my car all the time now, and like a dad, but it's great. Just like all your other albums as well, they're fantastic, and I can't wait to see you in Brooklyn on March 25th, the Sunday show at Brooklyn Steel. But how much is working out too much? What would you constitute as working out too much?
It kind of depends on the person. For me, that's not very much at all. Work too much is very little.
Yeah, I agree, especially in the wintertime in this New York weather here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one thing you have your dog now. At least your dog in L.A. can walk around outside, right?
Well, Ben's... No, your dog can walk, that's right.
Wait, your dog...
What were you going to say?
I'm just kidding.
Ben doesn't
You're just going to make something up
about
my dog.
Your dog's more like a deer. Like, would you say that a deer walks?
He's like...
Prances? Yeah,
prances.
He drives like every other L.A. dog.
Come on, man.
The L.A. dogs. Is that a
band? Yeah, that sounds like a really bad super group.
It's Izzy Stradlin. Like,
yes, yeah, so I was going to say Matt Sorum would be in L.A.
It's like
dog.
It would be like an English band that like is like really into the whole like Sunset Strip mythology, but like...
Yeah, but a little too into it.
Yeah.
L.A. dogs.
Which you can't be.
L.A.
Guns. Dogs with guns.
L.A. Dogs with guns.
Is L.A. Guns good?
No.
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 Great.
No. But they're important.
I don't have to listen to them.
No, you don't. You've gotten this far. You don't have to catch up on that.
A lot of that stuff isn't good. So you hear that?
Yeah. That's why you make the music you do that sounds like it does.
Because I haven't listened to it.
Because you didn't. Yes, they're not a part of your diet.
Next record's going to be the L.A. Guns record.
Oh, no.
Yeah. That'd be... Who's your favorite
Andrew,
metal artist?
How's your cock doing, Andrew? Oh, I don't know. I can't really hear you, but how's Baggy doing?
She's just great. She's been running around a fair amount, chasing hair ties, and she's still going after those pigeons, you know? She's never going to get them, but every day, it's those
dementias.
Pigeons. Yeah. She's jumping at the window all day.
I like the question Tom almost asked.
All right, I'm going to move because we got all the lines lit
up
here.
Thanks, Melissa.
Thank you for your call.
No problem. Thank you, guys. I'll see you next month.
All right.
Mate. So, metal. Right, where does metal fit into the world of MGMT? Like growing up, were any of you metal?
Growing up,
yeah. No, but Simon educated us. We all lived in a house together our senior year of college, and we learned a lot about metal.
Simon took me to a Cradle of Filth show at Toad's Place.
That was one of the depressing moments of Cradle of Filth's life.
It was loud. No, you're thinking of Bad Brains.
That was
as depressing as it gets.
That was
seeing
really
Bad Brains recently.
It was
2004 or something.
Yeah, 2004. It was a bad period.
HR.
Yeah.
He was like laying down with a carton of orange juice. not singing at
we
all.
We decided to get really high before. It was like, this is great. This is reggae and hardcore to me. And then the band comes out, everybody else comes out, and they start playing Sailing On or something. They play the whole song and no vocals. Yeah. And then they go into like Attitude or something. They just play all the hits.
Mm-hmm.
And then HR finally comes out and he just lays on the ground and he pours orange juice into his beard. And then the band threw their instruments down to the left. And I was kind of like uncomfortably stoned when I was like, if things don't go exactly as planned, this is going to be a terrible night. And they did not. It was really depressing. And the Cradle of Filth was also really depressing because they had this huge stage show and there was no one there. But yeah, I used to play a lot of metal in college.
Yeah.
For you guys. Say, it's education time, guys. Wake up! And at like 5 in the morning, so, knocking their doors.
You, and what were you playing?
A lot of Manowar.
Manowar, Pantera. Uh-huh.
I was like in
the
my
live
room,
record.
My room listening to Joanna Newsom. Like, yeah. Hey, uh-huh. Can you stop? Keep it down.
It was kind of like, isn't this funny?
Mm-hmm.
But isn't this kind of good?
Yeah. So and you were like a metal kid?
No.
In some capacity?
Yeah, I was kind of like, I was more of like a into hardcore punk as a teenager.
Okay.
Until I met these guys.
Sure. So that means you like Dio a lot.
No.
You didn't.
I did not like Dio.
Dio seems to always be this punk,
see, that,
metal, right. Like he seems to be like the hub for so many.
I agree.
Punks who like metal is like they always like Dio.
Not only.
And those two Black Sabbath albums.
What's
that Dio
like?
Sang.
That cartoon, the butterfly.
Eddie.
Thing. The thing.
Gorillas.
No, the thing that he did.
No,
was, like,
he did
the theme song.
Well, you know
the
butterfly ball.
Butterfly ball.
The
oh,
early
that's
kind of
really
like
cool.
Psychedelic pre.
That's what, I think that's the first metal album.
Yeah.
No, but actually, that was read by King Crimson.
Dio sang on the soundtrack for a children's animation film in the early 70s.
It's like the early 70s.
And it's cool.
It's unmistakably his voice.
It's like, not metal.
Okay.
It's like
You didn't like Dio.
I did not like Dio. I never went that far. That's the thing. I would have gone that far, but I stopped at a certain point and expanded my horizons.
Okay.
But, no, I was always kind of, I always preferred, besides Manowar, I always liked English stuff.
Sure.
In general. I always
did. Okay. So Iron Maiden?
Yeah, but I can't. It doesn't make sense to me anymore.
Uh-huh.
Although we listened to Manowar before we... Well, I made you listen to Manowar.
Yeah, you just put it on.
Well, that's a,
everyone
like,
was listening to
you. You listened to it in the same way, like you listen to someone honking at you in traffic.
I think metal makes more sense to me when somebody makes me listen to metal.
Uh huh.
But if I just I'm going to listen to some metal. It's like when Simon. When I like in this house too, I was living like my room was in kind of the sunroom off of the living room, so I had no choice. But to like when it was 2 a.m. and it was time to listen to metal, then that's what I had to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
But
we got
you some blankets at some point because I know you didn't really have heating in there.
Yeah, he didn't have heat. The worst room.
You
didn't have
blanket.
A door.
Your room was just a porch.
But
right?
Yeah, it was a porch.
But the thing about Manowar though is, can you imagine if there was a great if you know. The West Coast, and that's a bad example, but just, you know, if King Crimson had a song that said, if you're not into Prague, you are not my friend, and another song called Brothers of Prague.
Sure.
And Prague Warriors.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, like, you are, I mean, it just kind of, sometimes you just have to pride in your genre.
Yes. Yes. Drawing a line.
Yeah.
They're like promotional tools.
Yeah.
Just reminding everybody that, like,
that, by the way,
you're listening to metal, and metal's great.
Yeah, metal's
great.
I'm
just telling you.
And in fact, if you don't like metal, scram.
Yeah. Scram. Yeah. Hit the bricks.
In fact, Manowar were Black Sabbath roadies. They were a roadie band.
Wow.
So I heard before Wikipedia was invented.
Yeah, somebody just put up here, they regret not seeing that Manowar Motorhead double bill in 88.
Your really?
Your Manowar talk is making them. And there's a
Me
nice
too,
shot
dude.
Of the guys in, like, they're very oiled up.
Yeah, I wish I was like, their oil boy.
Fair amount of oil.
I wish I was their oil boy.
Yeah, let's wear a... Here's a good idea. let's work out a lot. Let's oil ourselves up. Let's wear furry little underpants.
I rode in the elevator with Lemmy one time.
Oh, yeah. I was there.
You were there.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that. I thought it was.
I mean,
hallucinating.
We'd stayed up. Well,
really
yeah, we had stayed up all night, so we probably were hallucinating. But I swear,
was that in Glasgow?
In Glasgow,
I was there too.
He was there, and his
not
the thing, the mole thing on his face was so present.
Uh huh.
That's great.
Did you say anything? You didn't say anything to him. Yeah.
I don't know what I would have said.
It's hard when you run into people in elevators and then you say stupid things. I don't want to talk. I had one that's will haunt me forever with Patti Smith in an elevator.
Oh no!
Yes, where we were in San Francisco. I'm sure you know this story of these two.
I know the story.
Yeah, because I was in San Francisco and it was me and John Worcester, and we're doing a thing for the San Francisco Sketch Fest, and Patti Smith was playing the Fillmore right around. We're staying at that hotel near the Fillmore, the it's like a Korean hotel,
Japanese
hotel. Yes, yeah. Right in there. Yeah, so we're staying there, and I keep seeing Patti Smith. Oh, there's Patti Smith. Second time I see her. Oh, there's Patti Smith. Third time I see her. Oh, Patti Smith is clearly staying here. Fourth time she's getting in the elevator. I'm like, I got to say something to Patti Smith. And I get in the elevator with her. And it's just like, hey, how are the shows going? She's like, good. I'm a little tired. But yeah, going really well. And then based on a conversation I had with a cab driver in Memphis, because we're this guy was like, I saw all the bands back then, and he's like, the best band I ever saw of any rock band my whole life was Humble Pie, and they put on the best show ever. And I said to her, did you ever see Humble Pie back in the day? And then she went like, it was a little bit before my time, and clearly pressed the elevator button and got off, probably not on her actual floor, but just wanted to get out of the elevator away from me. Yeah, that was, and I don't know why I keep bringing this memory to life. Like, I keep giving it new life now. Now it feels fresh again. Why would I do that?
Humble Pie.
Well, I didn't know about why you would bring up Humble Pie. Now this makes sense.
Yeah, because this cabbie was just like, I saw all the bands.
Yeah.
I saw Led Zeppelin. I saw everybody. And I'm telling you, Humble Pie were the best of the whole batch.
30 days in the hole.
Then I was just like, yeah. Yeah. So I had to ask her. Like, you saw bands. And the thing is, it wasn't before her time. She could have seen Humble Pie back in the day.
She chose not to. A little
mad now. Now I'm realizing I was wronged on that. Who's good here, Mike? Four? Four has been on hold for a while. Hi, best show.
Hi.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
What?
To whom am I speaking?
Annabelle from Brunswick, Ohio.
Annabelle from Ohio. What's going on tonight, Annabelle? You're here with me, and MGMT are here also.
Not much is going on. I'm sort of stressed out about this weekend, and I want to know everybody else's weekend plans.
You're stressed out about this weekend?
Yeah.
Why are you stressed out, Annabelle?
On Friday, I have a choir competition. So that's stressing me out. And then Saturday and Sunday, I have a convention.
Are you in a choir or are you a choral director?
I'm in a choir.
Okay. And how big is the choir?
We have 68 girls.
Wow. That's a big, that's a 68.
Big, 68.
It's a wow. Big group.
Yeah, big group, yeah.
And is it it's a competition?
Yeah.
How many other choral groups are in this competition?
A couple districts. I don't even know. A lot.
Okay. And are you guys going to go for it? You're going to bring home the glory? Or is just showing up and competing enough?
Well, with this one, if we compete and then do well, we move on to states.
Yeah.
And then that's where we get
plaques. And how about MGMT? Where are you at with them? Are you going to maybe do, what if you break out? What if you guys, you start doing, what would you do? Ode to Joy? And then suddenly you raise your hand, stop the group, and then you go into I Found a Whistle. 68. Choral members singing loud and strong.
could just win the whole thing.
Yeah, or you'd be excommunicated from. You'd never find another group ever.
I'm pretty sure my choir director would kill me.
Mm.
You're not the choir director?
I'm not. No, I'm a student.
Well, can you sing a little bit? Can we hear just a, yeah, I don't look. I know you're not warmed up.
Oh, my God.
Just give me something.
I'm a fan.
Well, okay. Well, what song are you saying? What's the piece you're working on?
We have three songs to sing. They're all, like, older songs. Nothing, like, I don't know, like, much music. Nothing, like, popular, I guess.
Public domain?
Yeah, Camptown Races. What are you doing? Let me just say,
Arise My Love is one of them. I guess I don't know who composed that, but that's
when you hear. But let me just say one thing here, Annabelle. Something, you know, that the Happy Birthday song. That family made piles of money on that birthday song.
Uh huh.
The Hill Sisters. Is that who it was? Like, they got everybody did Happy Birthday, had to pay the Hill Sisters royalties. And then they proved, like, a year or two ago that, yeah, they didn't write that. They don't have provenance on the whatever. Like, somebody did it before them. And now you can just do whatever you want with Happy Birthday. Like, you don't have to pay for it. And that's why every TV show, you'd watch every TV show and it's like, it's a birthday scene and then everybody's like, for he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow, which you've never heard at any birthday you've ever been at. No one has ever done for he's a jolly good fellow.
Did they take the money back from the...
But that's what I want to know. Where's all that money?
Yeah, because it could be the greatest move ever.
Yeah, they made millions.
Wait, doesn't Paul McCartney own Happy Birthday? I just walk into this conversation without knowing anything.
He doesn't.
He doesn't.
I mean, I want that money if they don't have it anymore.
Yeah, right. Paul McCartney's on line four.
Hello.
Yes. Hello there.
What's going on?
Kisses from your bottom.
Yeah, kisses from the bottom.
The thing with Paul McCartney, he always does a thing where he scratches his nose. Does that make you uncomfortable? He's always like, like this. Right? Weird.
It means kill him.
Is that a signal? Is he just saying? Like it's code?
Him. Yeah, kill him.
Well, Annabelle, I hope you win this thing.
Yeah, me too. And all 68 of your sisters.
You bring home the glory to Ohio.
Yeah, we'll try.
And then you go to states. And then I hope you match up against New Jersey and we wipe you off the map.
Wow, right? Wow.
Sorry. Hey, state versus state.
Yeah.
I have no idea if there's even a choir thing in New Jersey, but now I'm feeling strange local pride. Toward our choir group that I don't know if exists.
I mean, I'm sure there probably is one.
Yes.
Some high school choir.
I'm sure. All right. Well, thank you for the call.
Yeah.
Mike, who's good here? Three? These people have been on hold a long time. Look at this. I got to do that. Hi, best show.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. Who's this?
Hello. Jake.
Jake, where are you calling from?
Andover, Mass. Massachusetts.
Okay. And what's going on tonight? You're here with MGMT.
Is MGMT on the line right now?
They're not. You're on the line. They're in the studio.
Oh, hi, guys. It's really an honor to talk to you guys. When Metanoia came out, I was like nine. What was that?
No. I said likewise.
Likewise.
Oh, thank you.
Do you have a question for
Metanoia?
Metanoia.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Metanoia and Siberian Breaks and Alien Days and these songs are probably the best songs ever made. I mean, I really think they're just the most beautiful things. And I was just wondering, because I've watched like every interview and no one ever seems to ask you guys about the good stuff. You know, how did you guys write these songs and like what was going through your minds and influences and stuff like that?
Oh, which for what song in particular?
Wants to know about Siberian Breaks.
Siberian Breaks.
I would say actually Metanoia rather, because you guys are younger and it's just the best thing.
Yes, boss.
Metanoia, we wrote that kind of, what do we write first? We just did it section by section and then found ways to piece it together. I feel like that we're going to...
Hospitals and Woods Confirm and On is just so pretty. It's just really the best thing.
Thanks.
It was because our record label really wanted a B-side.
Yeah, I feel like the more we talk about it, the less enchanted you're going to be with it in some ways.
Like, you don't want to show the you don't want people looking at the seams.
Quick, yeah. I think what you told me is that you and Ben simultaneously had the exact same dream.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that dream was, and you both painted this picture, and you kind of put it together and just...
But maybe there's some fun fact we could say about it that... Since
yeah, now, like I really write music, and I'm just always trying to strive for your guys' sound, and it's just think of stuff like as good as you guys have, especially melodically. Like seriously, like the jam section of that song is just so in the Guggenheim show. Will that ever be released? Any real recording of it? Because it's just I listen to those YouTube versions like every day, and it's just so good.
Wow, we have a recording of it, and
please release that.
Maybe one day, I don't know.
Make your case right now. beg. I want to hear you beg for this.
Please.
You can do better. Come on.
I would just see the best.
Jeez. That's good.
Lower yourself.
It sounded weird in there.
To them.
The Guggenheim was not designed for acoustics.
Right. It was designed for...
Did you guys just write those? Look, never played? How could you guys not want to release that? It's so good.
Right? How could you not want to release it? He makes a good point. Come on, really grovel now, though. Come on.
We just, you know, sometimes we just do things and then we're like, you know, we did that. I don't know if it was good or not. But, you know, it's nice to hear you say this 8 years later.
I really just, seriously, hearing the song as a 9-year-old, it just, like, opened my mind to so many things. And if people don't tell you guys enough how good you are, I really think
you were 9 years old.
You guys are better than
that. Is that what you said?
What was that?
You were 9 when you heard that?
I was 9 when I heard Medin.
Wow.
Wow, that's...
And seriously, I listen to that every single day. Like, the emotions I got from that song, it's just unlike anything. And then when Congratulations came out, I was so excited about how good that album is. I don't know, you guys really, like, A Good Sadness, Alien Days, everything you guys have made just completely blows my mind. Everyone that I know knows how obsessed I am with you guys, so... It's just really great to talk to you guys, really.
Well, thank you. Whoa. Thank you. I don't know what
I'll be at the show in Boston. You guys should play Metanoia or Siberian Break.
Okay, we'll put it into the... Well, we gotta rework it out, I guess. Just tell Simon. It's all...
I don't know how to play those.
Simon, you have to learn.
I know how to play Siberian Break. I don't know how to play Metanoia. I'm
gonna throw him in the hat.
What?
Right?
Yeah. We'll throw him in the hat, yeah. We'll throw
just the send me the send me the tabs, bro.
When you go to the Boston show, make a sign... And have it say, like, I was 9 when I started. I'm the kid that was 9.
You say, make a 9-year-old happy.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Well, it's actually interesting.
Make a 9-year-old me happy.
Yeah, making.
Yeah. How about that? Would you do that at the show?
I would.
There's a 9-year-old boy who wants something from you. You know what it is.
No.
No, we'll get it.
And what... When it's time for an MGMT tattoo, what are you thinking?
I'm not a huge fan of tattoos, but if I were to get one, it would definitely just say Metanoia on it.
Okay.
But,
Greek word.
Seriously, guys, it's such an honor to talk to you guys. I don't think anyone parallels your genius, and I'm sure you guys know how good you are and how criminally underrated you guys are.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, can't you, know, you hear?
There's no doubt in my mind you guys know how good your stuff is and how original it is, and... I'm sure you guys would just like to be humble, but really, I just wanted to say that. I think people completely miss the point when it comes to your guys' songwriting. And I'm, like, pretty nervous right now, but seriously, everything you guys have done is just beautiful.
You did a great job. You did a great call, young man. Bye.
Bye, Jake. Thanks.
He's a nice guy. See? Look at that. A 9-year-old. You changed the entire course of a human being's life. He was 9 when he heard the weirdest thing he could have heard as a 9-year-old. And it's like he doesn't want a tattoo, but he has a tattoo of that record
on his
neural pathways.
Weird.
Right? That's awesome.
It is awesome. That's what it's all about, kind of.
Because what are you supposed to, the kid's supposed to be listening to? No offense. What, do you want to listen to Man of War records?
Are they going
to
say Simon too?
No. Like, no, that would be actually me.
What's he going to listen to? Simon too?
Yeah.
Like some Neanderthal?
Yeah.
Hi, you're on Best Show.
What's I'm up? Not worthy. I'm not worthy.
Okay. Hey, who's this?
Hi, that was terrible. So I have a bunch of questions, but I whittled it down to two. First one I want to know is about something to do with Prince and, like, what that was all about. I feel like there's no press behind that. And the like second question is about Alan Vega and, like, his death and the impact it had on the album.
Oh, okay. Ben, you can field these. I see you.
Answer them both at the same time.
I think something to do with Prince was, it was a song title for, like, a just a work in progress that never happened.
And which was kind of what the song was. Oh,
then it never actually happened, and then it became, I think because people really wanted there to be a jam on the record. They were like, oh, like, you mentioned Prince in a working song title. Like, this is big news, or, you know, so.
I thought it was that we thought that there are some similar sounds on the song to Prince, and then we were like, it has something to do with Prince.
No, that was the song title, but it was like, why would anybody care other than, like, oh, you mentioned Prince.
Yeah.
I think. What was the other question?
Alan Vega. What was another question? Alan Vega.
Yeah, that was, I don't know, so many musicians who influenced this died recently, I guess. That's really sad. But yeah, we did that cover for, that was kind of like our therapy, I guess. We did an Alan Vega cover when he died because we just needed to do something to express our emotions about that.
Yeah, that dude was that's somebody who will never get the credit he deserves. The guy, Suicide, will never get for what they did. That changed everything.
He was really self-aware too, I feel like. I feel like there's like this myth about him that he was, you know, just this like crazy guy, mm-hmm. but I feel like he really, like, he knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah, no, I got to talk to him probably about 4 or 5 years ago. And he was great, and he just like I talk. I have a friend, this guy, he's a New Jersey guy. He's in the band Monster Magnet, Dave Windorf. He is Monster Magnet, and he grew up like a hardcore, like a punk kid. He was in a band called Shrapnel in the 70s, and he used to see Suicide all the time at CB's, and would talk about. He said it was like the. He said they had a thing that suddenly they would you can't, he said, you could not appreciate the sheer volume of what Suicide did live unless you were there, that it would be loud, and then suddenly, like, there'd be like a pedal they'd step on and it would be like 10 times as loud, and it was so punishing. He said it was just so, there was like a brutalizing quality to it, that like once everybody had accepted punk, there were still these two lunatics that were like making people mad.
And Alan Vega was whipping a chain around.
Yeah,
too.
And he's like a weird Elvis going around. And you know about we do this thing, the Frankie Teardrop Challenge on the show, which we've been doing for a long time. What?
I cleared out a bar playing Frankie Teardrop on the Touch Tune.
Yeah.
So if you ever want to clear out a bar,
play Frankie
Teardrop. Did your voice just drop 2 octaves?
Yeah. Hey, you sound like Simon now.
Wait, I'm so confused.
Oh, hey.
That was probably my nerves.
Okay.
Or you just...
Well, do I have a radio voice, great. A normal talking voice?
Thank you. I started off with the weird Wayne's World joke, and that didn't land too well, so it got me even more nervous.
You should think about... You should consider country music as a...
Yeah.
Hey, we're working on the MGMT cover album on Reddit.
Oh. That's cool.
Yeah, part two.
Reddit presents...
Yeah, I heard some of the first one. There's some good stuff on there.
Thank you.
All right.
So yeah, it'll we're getting it together. It'll be ready in like 4 weeks.
All right.
That's awesome. Wow.
Yeah. Thanks for us.
Okay, I gotta move on. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Seems like a very nice guy, but I could not take the depth of his voice.
It got deeper.
I thought he was gonna start telling me about cigarettes. Next. Best Show, hi.
Hello.
To whom? Oh, to whom am I? I know who this is already.
It's Jello Girl.
Jello. Okay. Do you know this guy? Do you know Jello Man? Do you know who that is? No. Everyone's shaking their head. No.
I know. Yeah. I know through Rob Laxo. Okay.
We met at a Kurt Vile show.
Yeah. This is Kurt. This is Jello. He goes by the name Jello Man.
Jello Girl. Jello Man.
And he's he makes Jello shots. He's a Philadelphia guy. Okay. And he makes Jello shots and sells them at festivals. And his brother is Kurt Vile. And he goes around peddling Jello shots at, like, what's the last festival you were at?
Well, let me just explain the scenery right now. Right now, I'm going to a music festival called Okeechobee tomorrow.
Okay.
And I'm sitting right now at Cocoa Beach next to, like, a weird karaoke bar in my Sprinter van.
Uh-huh.
Drinking Franzia. Alone next to a dumpster,
mm-hmm.
smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, so you're going
that's
to...
That's my night right now.
What and festival you know, is it? Okeechobee?
Okeechobee, yes.
And who's going to be at that?
It's Arcade Fire, Bass Nectar, like Travis Scott, District, Flaming Lips.
I don't need the whole lineup.
But it was four.
He's
or
selling
five.
Tickets. So you're going to be there, and you're selling Jello shots?
Yeah, I got 3,000 Jello shots under me right now. I'm sleeping on top of them. And yeah.
And how much is a Jello shot, Paul?
Three shots for five. Two for tongue. Remember that deal?
Yeah, which is, I don't even want to talk about it. It's like he'll make out with you. Like, he'll give you two Jello shots if you make out with him.
Very 2018.
Yeah.
What's the margin like on this?
Oh, it's astronomical.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, you make a... The Jello shots give you the angle to, like, if say, like, you're trying to sell a shirt for $20, and they don't want to pay $20, you say, all right, I'll give you a Jello shot with it. They'll be like, oh, two Jello shots. And you're like, oh, okay, you got me. The reality is you have, like, way more than enough Jello shots.
Everclear or something? What do you put in there?
We call it midget top shelf, bottom shelf vodka.
So it's the cheapest. This guy's going through. It's like leaving Las Vegas. He's dumping the cheapest vodka into a shopping cart. Right.
Let's just say I go to Delaware and get my tax-free shopping.
Yeah.
At least.
So you're loading up on the world's cheapest vodka. You're buying off-brand Jello, right?
At least, yeah.
And you're mixing this stuff up where now? In a vat?
I make it at my house. I make them in 5-gallon buckets.
Mm-hmm. So the 5-gallon buckets of Jello get made. Mm-hmm. Then you put he puts them into like condiment cups, like with the lid
like
that goes.
McDonald's?
Yeah. Oh, there's some out. Can
no,
you bring?
Souffle.
Mike.
Cups, come on.
Bring those Jello shots in here.
Jello Man, I have a question.
Yeah.
Do you ever sell a Jello shot to a sober person?
What, when before they drank yet?
Yeah, like when they haven't had any drinks.
Yes.
You
always.
Do. Always, okay.
I always start, yeah. I mean, actually, that's I know it's happened before. I mean, it's people.
Here's the product.
I start selling shots to people before they get into the festival, like when they're like lining up to come in.
Who wants a Jello? We have two of your Jello shots in the room now.
They've separated a little.
Yeah,
the shot from
Andrew's reconstituting your Jello shots by shaking them.
Andrew used to reconstitute Jello shots for a living.
Hey, I've been making these Jello shot murals, Tom. You know about them, right?
Yes, I do. He makes them. He spells things out in Jello shots mounted on a giant board. Like when when his brother Kurt Vile was playing with Courtney Barnett, he made this giant spelled out KVCB in Jello shots, and then he brings it backstage.
Yeah, I follow you guys on Instagram, so you should look me up on Instagram. You can see all my Jello murals. I did one for Cage the Elephant recently. They let me come backstage. They played at the somewhere in Los Angeles. I forget the name of the place. I don't know why.
So you really get around.
What's your Instagram?
Jello Man Philly.
Okay.
Jello
you guys
Man
should
Philly.
Let me bring you guys a Jello mural for your March show, March 20th at
Electric Factory.
Yes.
Great venue.
I will Jello you guys. I put Pop Rocks on them for people I like.
Yeah, he puts Pop Rocks in them, which...
What do you get for people you don't like?
You put pop, we garnish them, kind of like you're like a salt shaker. You kind of sprinkle the Pop Rocks on the Jello shot before you eat it.
It's really something to see. So if you want him,
Just know, Paul.
It's your
given name, Paul, not Jell-O Man.
Jell-O Girl.
The offer has been thrown out. Well, he will bring a mural that will spell out MGMT at your show. Whether at this point, probably whether you want him to or not. Actually, this is happening.
That's like an offer depends I can't on, refuse.
It's easier than you spelling can't tell Cage me, the Elephant.
You can't tell me about that and then, like, I don't get to see it.
Yeah.
Well, I did one without asking one time for LCD Sound System kind of recently. I kind of walked it backstage to Fillmore.
Yeah.
And then I didn't get to the band, like, the workers kind of like, what the hell is this? And they just stopped me.
Yeah. And I would call that them doing the right thing.
I think the band would have liked it, but the problem is that I didn't get to the band, you know?
But you can't just bring this a huge 6x10 plank with Jell-O shots stapled to it and be like, I got to get to, where's James Murphy?
Well, the only thing is that
I need to get him this Jell-O.
I walked back there because I remembered how when Kurt played there, the layout of it, and I just kind of like, I had a Fillmore pass that I kind of like put in my upper pocket, and it just said Fillmore. The bottom part was like the day before.
Uh-huh.
And then they let me go in there, but like no one was in there.
Mentos so, like, they style. Were just, right? They were you like, thought it was like a Mentos commercial, except they with Jell-O shots.
I know the band would have liked it, maybe.
Do want you bringing giant wall of Jell-O.
Wait, Tom, you know the Eagles won the Super Bowl, and I went to the
The Eagles
parade.
Won the Super Bowl, what?
No, I'm just going to tell you. Look,
so you made green Jell-O shots, right?
Obviously. And then I went to the parade.
Yeah.
And I stood on top of my van. You should look at my Instagram. I shot like two whole quarters, probably like 2,000 Jell-O shots. And all these people going by, they all just like wanting the Jell-O shots, kept shooting people with them. No cops cared at all.
Yeah, no, because it was white dudes going nuts. Everybody spotted Philly.
No, everybody was going nuts.
Yeah, look, I'll say this. You know I love Philadelphia, right? You know that.
Well,
what? You know I love Philadelphia. I have a chance to go see a show in New York or Philly. I'll go to Philly.
Yeah.
But the whole thing is that thing with the with that everybody's like, oh, everybody makes fun of Philly and we're like everybody thinks we're just like cartoon characters and things. And then that one lunatic gets up on stage in the mummer outfit. Suddenly it's like, yeah, you're not making the greatest case for the elevation of Philadelphia right now, starting an F.U. chant.
And then that guy that ate the horse poop, too.
Yeah, that guy really did a great job. And the other guy who ran into the pole chasing after the train was in that. Yeah, what's that now?
Well, no, no. Oh, no, no. Do you like my Jell-O van or what?
And they had to grease the pole. They should just, you know, next postseason for, they should just grease the people of Philly. Right?
No.
Don't put grease on the poles. Everybody who's going to be in the town has to, like, roll around in some Crisco or something so they can't climb the poles. Do I like your Jell-O van? He drives around in a windowless van. This is one
it's a
thing.
Sprinter van, you guys. You guys know what Sprinter vans are, obviously. They're the nicest vans panel. You can get, right?
They're good. Why doesn't yours have windows?
Well, I have a Sprinter van because, you know.
He said to me, look, Paul, I'm going to tell a story. You said to me, yeah, I was in the parking lot of the Eagles game a few months ago, and then I was trying to give out Jell-O shots, and some girl was like, I was telling her to come in and get Jell-O shots, and she's like, oh, yeah, that looks a little creepy to me. And I'm switching the word, like it was, and then, and I'm like, yeah, it's a windowless van, and you're telling people to come on inside and drink and get Jell-O shots from a guy with a denim jacket on, not even wearing any Eagles merchandise the parking lot of the Eagles game.
I'm sorry,
you look like one of the Manson family out there.
It's
trying
van.
To tell people to get in your van. It's a parody of a bad situation. Get
it
my
says
van,
Jell-O Man on Jell-O it, shot. And it has beanbags.
It says Jell-O Man on the van. You're right. So she should have gotten in. You're right. She should have just.
Paul, and has a checkered floor.
Paul, I love you. You know I love you. I love the whole Vile family, all of you. But you got to just get some context here for what a windowless van looks like with a guy
I do understand it, but I just try to just battle through that, you know. I'm just, I got to bring the jello shots in the van, and I got to sit in the van, I got to, once you realize it's all good gravy, you come in and eat a jello shot with Pop Rocks on it, you're on your way.
Right now your brother is hearing this, and he's pulling his hair out, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Look, buddy.
He laughs at me. He laughs at me.
I don't laugh at you, though. You know I love you, buddy.
KB does.
KV does. He laughs at it. But maybe it's because you bootlegged your own brother's merchandise. Might have something to do with the dynamic that you went and made bootleg sunglasses with your brother's band name on them and sold them. That might have something to do with the kind of throwing the dynamic off a little bit.
Well...
All right, your phone.
You know,
goodbye.
All right. It is what it is, right?
All right, you take care, buddy.
Wait.
Yeah. And speaking of Kurt Vile, though, to go back, there was a back a few months ago, this thing in November, where it was this John Cale 75th birthday show that you and Kurt Vile were both a part of. And that was, I saw both nights on that. You were in, you were not in the second night, were you? Were you in the...
We weren't on his solo show night.
Okay. But you were in the night that was the covering the first Velvet Underground album.
Nico.
Yes. And what, you did two. What songs did you do again? You did
Black Angel Death Song and All Tomorrow's Parties.
That's right. Yeah, John Cale was like, that guy's doing all right for 75.
Yeah, he's still got the fire.
Yeah. He's got the, his voice is still good.
Yeah.
The playing was still good. Yeah. It was nuts.
Yeah, at that one point in his solo, the night that he did the solo show, he just took the amazing kind of piano, like, intro or something. Mm-hmm. And he was like, wow, you know, he can really play.
Yeah, and he was still on it. And the other thing is, like, people were yelling. He was, like, having some tech problems on stage. And then people are like... Happy birthday, John! And he's like trying to get this laptop to work. He doesn't want to hear anyone yell anything at him. And then some guy goes, not like the old days, huh, John?
Yeah.
Like, that was maybe the best thing to yell out. And so now all you're watching is a 75-year-old trying to get a laptop to work.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is, it doesn't matter who he is, he did not grow up with laptops, and he's up there trying to, I can't get he's trying to just get it going. It's like, oh, this is a bummer watching an old dude trying to just like, why won't the pinwheel go off the screen? What was he like? Was he cool?
He was you know, intense. Uh-huh. I'd say cool, yeah. Like, cool in the kind of, like...
Like, how was he intense?
Like, similar with when we met Lou Reed, kind of, like, just intense person mm-hmm. to communicate with. And we were learning his songs and rehearsing, and, you know, he was kind of, like, he was the director, so he was...
Mm-hmm.
I remember one time he told me to try playing dissonant guitar chords, and I was like, I was just playing random chords, and then he looked over. He's like, no. And he like saw the other guy do it. Like, he gave me one chance.
Yeah. Strike one. You're out. Yeah. Yeah. Are there any other dudes like that or people like that that you've, like... Because I always... It's always weird. Look, it's not the Patti Smith thing. That makes me gun-shy to talk to anyone ever again that I respect after... But it's like, you think of it, so you shook Paul McCartney's hand, you met two of the prime architects of the Velvet Underground,
mm-hmm.
right?
We did it like a kind of joint interview thing with Martin Rev last year.
Okay.
Which I was also uncomfortable during. But that was really great. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of just like listening to Martin Rev talk.
Yeah.
And then, who else? I don't know. Legends of the Fall. What is that movie?
Speaking of which, Avalanche Bob's song kind of sounds like The Fall, I thought.
I think it's got a little bit of The Fall in there.
Yeah, a little Fall.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
We'll see what Pitchfork says.
Look, yes, we'll see what best new music. Avalanche Bob got 8.8. What? Avalanche Bob got an 8.8. Oh, no. Like, best show, hi. Final few calls, then we'll wrap it up here. We'll play. I'm going to play something from our friend Simon Doom. Oh. Right? He's good, right, Simon? His records are great.
Yes.
Right?
He's pretty great.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
I think he's great.
Hey, you're on the show.
Hi.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
I'm Abby.
Abby, where are you calling from, Abby?
I'm calling from Atlanta.
What's going on in Atlanta? You're here on with MGMT.
Hi. I just wanted to call and call out Simon for when he made me cry when I was 14.
Oh my God.
See, I tweeted you guys a question that was a really dumb question for Hangin' Brain. You responded so meanly, and I just wanted to, like, call you out and actually find out the answer to that question, which was, what was your first concert or your most memorable concert that you've ever been to?
What was his answer, the first time?
I tweeted that question. He said, listen to the last episode, sheesh. And I listened to all of the last episodes, and y'all never answered it.
Oh, my God.
And I looked up to you so much, and I still do. I love you so much. And Simon Doom's awesome. But, it made me cry. But
well, Simon is going to do some, he's going to fix it now.
I'll fix it right now. The first concert I ever went, first concert I ever went to.
Well, first, no, let me help you through this. I'm sorry.
Okay. First of all, Abby?
Yes.
I'm really sorry.
Don't be sorry, I'm joking. It was just funny. I wanted to know the answer.
She's not joking, though.
She's not. I'm still sorry.
Thank you.
And,
I didn't mean to make you cry.
The answer is.
Say I didn't mean to make you cry.
I didn't mean to make you cry.
Jimi Hendrix.
No, I'm so sorry. I thought we had answered that on the previous episode. The problem with I'm making an excuse now, and I always do this, but maybe it was just that the episodes were
episodes of what now?
I don't want to talk about this to you, Tom. We did a brief podcast called Hangin' Brain.
Uh huh. Okay.
In 2014.
Uh huh. Okay.
In which we would ask for Twitter questions and answer them.
Uh huh.
Among other things.
Sure.
And so the first anyway, to answer your question, the first concert I went to was Paul Simon's Graceland in Central Park, but that was not my choice. The first concert I chose to go to was Nirvana.
2011.
First concert I chose to go to was Nirvana at Oakland Coliseum, New Year's Eve, 93-94. With my dad, with Choke Bore, a comedy by Bobcat Goldthwait, and the Butthole Surfers. And that was my metanoia, right?
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's what it was. I'm so sorry about that, Abby.
Don't be sorry. It was a long time ago.
But you still wanted this moment, though, right, Abby?
I did. I've always wanted to know. And the fact that it was his first choice was Nirvana is amazing, because MGMT and Nirvana are, tied as my two favorite bands. So that was awesome. Thank you.
Two more great records than Nirvana.
Agreed. I listen to MGMT more than Nirvana, but they're both.
What Nirvana made. Made one great record, Cold Bleach. Then they made...
Yes.
Then they made a Foreigner album called Nevermind. Then they made a fake indie album.
Oh, ouch.
Right?
Whoa. Yeah.
Look, I saw it go down. I was there. There were better. I saw Tad and Nirvana at Maxwell's, and Tad was so much better than Nirvana. Tad was 100 times better than Nirvana. I'm not kidding.
Not just Maxwell. A tad better.
And he had a cold.
Tad had a cold?
Tad had a cold. Tad Worrell? Tad had a cold. And he still delivered.
Did they play Stumbling Man?
I don't know what they played.
Andrew and I have Nirvana tattoos.
Look.
We do.
We do.
The best single.
It's not our fault.
The best thing they did was the single, the Grandma Take Me Home. That's maybe one of the 50 greatest singles ever. That single.
Sliver.
Sliver. And what was the other song? Dive? And then they said, what if we sound like Boston on this next album? Right? It was a fun thing, right? Let's sound a little bit like Boston. That's fair. Boston had good songs. Well, no. Remember that song, Boston?
Is that Boston?
Boston?
Yeah.
We're just a band.
The ubiquitous yeah. Boston.
You know, just a band out of Boston, right?
Yeah. It's like, does anything bad come out of Boston?
Oh, boy.
Ever. Abby.
Yes.
Thank you for calling. I'm really sorry.
Thank you so much for answering. I'll be in Atlanta on the 13th, and I'm so excited to see you guys.
Awesome. Well, come say hi.
And you should hold a sign up for that show that says, Simon, I forgive you.
Yes, please.
I do forgive you.
I take this stuff really seriously.
But it needs to be in sign form.
Okay, yeah, I will.
Please do. All right.
I just want there to just be signs at all your shows. Yeah. Just be like, these signs are really annoying. Like, what if you went to one of those festival shows in England and then some dope had a flag in front of you? You're like, I can't see. You're waving that flag around.
Yeah.
Like, we're all here in the field together.
The first guy with the flag, though, because it was the first guy who was like, I have an idea, mate, how my mates are going to find me at this gigantic festival. I'll be the guy with the flag.
With the flag, yeah.
And everyone's like, that bloke.
Sure.
Is smart,
that made
is
sense.
He?
Yeah. Sure. And then suddenly everyone had a flag. Yeah. All right, let's take two more calls and we'll wrap it up. No more calls, Mike. No more calls. Best show, hi.
Hi, this is Eric from Santa Rosa.
Welcome to the show. Do you have a question for MGMT? You got a question for these guys?
I actually do. First of all, I wanted to say that I also saw them at that Fenway show back in the day, and it was a real nice treat because I didn't know they were going to be playing that. But I had a question specifically for Andrew. Recently, you were DJing like this show in New York, like it's done out of like a shipping container.
Hold on. Oh, the Lot Radio?
Yeah, that one.
Okay.
This is like a really random question, but I want to know what that is. Like, one of the very first songs you did in your set was like this woman singing about the joys of friendship or something like that?
Yes, Lee Garatoni.
What is it? One more time.
Lee Garatoni.
Oh, awesome. What was the name of the song? Do you know?
Friends.
Oh,
it's
Friends.
Called,
oh, awesome.
The album's
I love
called
it.
Find Out What I'm Dreaming.
Okay. Awesome. That song's all I had to say. Thank you, guys. Awesome new album. One of my favorites of the year so far.
Thank you.
All right, thanks. You're in the running. The album's in the running. One of the favorite
one
of the year so far.
So far, one
Look,
of.
Look, it's February. 10 months for him to just go, oh, that's right, they put an album out in December when he's putting his list together. What's the most anybody here has paid for a record while I take this next call?
You mean like?
Like an LP.
Record collecting.
Like,
record?
Sure, yeah.
I think around like $50.
Yeah,
50?
Like under 50.
What would it be?
Oh, yeah, it's just 50, yeah.
Yeah, oh, that sounds like somebody. And look, it's okay.
I have a little bit of a problem.
That's all right. Yeah. What's the, well, there has to be some element of you being proud that you found a thing if you had to pay
for
it.
I did, because I found it on eBay,
mm-hmm.
and I liked that it wasn't on Discogs.
Mm-hmm. And what was it?
It was like a, kind of like a weird reggae song. Is a 12-inch,
mm-hmm.
and it had vocoder, and I just kept going back and forth, and then I got it. But I was glad I got it.
Mm-hmm. And you broke the bank for it a little bit.
He was glad he got it.
Whoa!
Did it hurt a little bit? But
it hurt.
It hurt a little bit. Yeah.
It hurt.
All right, I'm done with you. I don't like where that's going. Best show, hi.
Hi, Tom. It's Kat from Raleigh.
Hey, Kat. How are you?
Well, this has been, it's weird. Even though February is the shortest month, it's been a very long and very weird month for me. And I had some, like, at the beginning of the show, I got a call from someone else that made me super angry about something, like, just unfortunate. But I'm just trying to, like, hang in there.
That's all you can do sometimes is hang in there. Right?
Yeah.
That's all you can
I
do.
Mean, if it weren't at the end of the show, I would go into more detail about it. I don't want to wear out a welcome.
Don't worry. But I'm here. I got the band here.
Yeah.
Got the band here. Do you have a question for the band?
I do.
Ooh, what do you got?
Well, I just wanted to say to you folks, I have some, I really like the material from the new album that I heard played earlier on the show. I admit that y'all kind of dropped off my radar for a bit because, well, I just, like, I was influenced by some people who were kind of snobbish against you, but then I kind of credit Tom with, like destroying the last vestiges of snobbishness in my music taste, and because, like, Congratulations is a wonderful album, and I love, like, I mean, I think I ought to give, like, the first album, and I mean, I've never even heard the third album, but I've got to give the first album another chance just because, like, I love the singles, but then I've, like, sort of need to revisit the rest of it. Actually, I have a lot of fond memories of your music from when I was in undergrad because, my good friend, girlfriend at the time, and once in a blue moon best show caller, Elena from Ithaca, was the one who turned me on to you.
And now you're on board.
Yes, I'm definitely going to, like, listen as soon as I get off. I'm going to, like, look up Little Dark Age on Spotify and crank it.
Yeah, crank it up.
It's good. It's
but the question I have is actually, I really, really love the song, off Congratulations, a song for Dan Tracy. I already knew and liked television personalities, so I felt kind of like, hey, I know what this song is getting about, and how it in itself was an homage to television personalities doing the song I Know Where Syd Barrett Lives. And
some of the lyrics, yeah.
And I've wondered, Andrew, would anyone ever, like, try to pass the baton and do the same to you, or is your name just too long?
Yeah, maybe it has to be, like, a med school thing. I think my name is more, like, suited towards, you know, an entomologist or something, really, than a song title.
You're not obscure enough, either. I feel like you need to, like, reach, like, a level of obscurity as an artist.
Syd Barrett wasn't exactly obscure. I mean, sure, his version of the band wasn't the one that got big, but his bandmates wound up forming one of the biggest bands ever.
But maybe at the time, though.
Yeah, but then he was in the when he was out of Pink Floyd, he was kind of skulking around his village.
Yeah,
and nobody. He was off.
I guess maybe radio. Now that you're back after a 5-year hiatus.
Yeah.
Oh,
wait.
Are you still there?
I don't know. Are you there? Yes. Cat, I think we lost her.
Now
I will say, look.
For you this guys is be interesting, like, though. This is a good conversation while it lasted.
Okay. Mike, what did I say about no more calls?
Can we do another one?
Okay. All right. One. Here we go. You're on. Hi.
Hi.
To whom am I speaking? Who's this?
This is Nina from Syracuse, New York.
Nina from Syracuse. Yes. How are things at Syracuse? What are you eating? Did you have one of those garbage plates for dinner tonight?
Not tonight.
Is that Syracuse?
Like, I don't know. Isn't that kind of everywhere?
The one you guys have up there, that is not everywhere. That is just up there.
I guess I don't know exactly the one you're talking about. I'm just thinking about garbage plates in general. But you guess you know more about Syracuse? Fun facts.
Where else are those from? Like Buffalo and...
Connecticut.
Connecticut?
Just garbage plates in Connecticut, for sure.
What's a Connecticut garbage plate?
Isn't it just kind of like everything in the fridge and in eggs?
I'm actually calling in for a friend from Connecticut who's in London right now and can't call in himself.
Well,
he's got some questions.
All right, let's hear the question.
He wants to know what the fuck you guys are saying at the end of Deathstroke when it's fading out.
He also wants to know why you don't cover more Bauhaus or play Joy Division, and he wants you to shout out Neon Deli, which I know is
last thing, that's not going to happen.
Why?
It's not going to happen.
Did you work there?
No.
Yeah. I used to get a lot of ice cream sandwiches there.
Where's Neon?
Yeah, I don't actually know.
It's like pretty much on the campus of Wesleyan, where we went to college. Yeah.
No, just kidding. Okay. We can shout it out. We can shout out Neon Deli. I don't remember the name of any of the sandwiches.
Yeah,
unfortunately, because I think that would be a good shout out. But there
it's
were a lot
kind
of
Godfather.
Yeah, they had like sandwiches named after famous people.
There was one called Number One Stunner.
Oh,
that's right.
For some reason,
that's
that
right.
always sticks out.
Okay. Why do we not play more Bauhaus or Joy Division? I don't know.
Yeah.
I can feel this one. It's because they have four albums of their own songs. And
yeah,
they can't get to all
true,
of those.
True, but
we're supposed to be,
bored.
Hey, here's another one. Here's another one from Bauhaus.
Wait,
why not?
About
these
drugs.
Four Bauhaus songs tonight.
This guy's gone out.
What was the question about Destruct?
What are you guys saying at the end of it when it's like fading out? Can't really...
Oh, man.
Hear what the words are.
Are we saying anything? I don't
it's
remember.
Like, kind of like low jumbled up
you're
voice.
Just a, you're just kind of like a surrogate question asker right now,
yes. though. I am right now, and actually, he's getting it a couple minutes later than I am, so he can't even like live ask questions.
You're probably saying
messenger,
like,
but
I hope I do well enough.
I can
on these
like
to graduate.
You know,
I don't remember there being a fade out.
I can play it.
Can you?
That's okay.
That's okay.
All right, I got to take another call. Final calls here. I appreciate those questions.
Damn. All right, well, thank you.
Just I want to say here also, we've been doing a contest on the show, which is this Netflix contest to see who has had a DVD out the longest from Netflix.
Oh, I have some.
And... how old?
2010.
Well,
I have one from 2010. And tonight, someone has sent me a screenshot. You have to send a screenshot of your Netflix account of when they shipped it to you, and then a photo of the sleeve. And someone has the movie Bay of Angels from March 12th, 2008. So the anniversary, they are 2 weeks from the 10-year anniversary of this movie being in the house, which how much does that cost when you think of just maintaining that DVD membership with Netflix over 10 years? So this person has held on to this one movie for 10 years.
What is it, like $8 a month?
It's something like, yeah, so it's...
So it's like $100 a year.
Yeah, so... $1,000.
Do you know what the movie is?
What's that?
You know what the movie is?
Bay of Angels.
Bay of Angels, sorry.
Yes. So.
What was your movie, your longest?
I have one from 2010. I had it's a La Bête Humaine, which I have yet to watch. I did have Trash Humpers for a long time, and it was finally like, it took me a long time to get Trash Humpers, and then a long time to send it back. I figured it was only fair game for me to hold the copy and deny people the privilege of watching
Hello?
Trash Humpers. Hi, you're the final call.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, who's this?
My name's Preston Dow from Houston, Texas.
What's going on, Preston? You're here with MGMT.
Dang. Hey, guys. Hold on. Let me turn it down on my computer because like, I'm hearing things. Signals at different times. First of all, I want to like kind of echo that guy who called earlier and said he heard like Metanoia when he was 9 and like changed his life. I heard everything kind of later than that, but a little older, but still super powerful impact you guys had on me. Are you guys there?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Hey. So I actually met you guys this summer in San Marcos.
Yeah,
float
fest. Kind of backstage.
Remember
and,
that.
And
I got to talk to most of you guys, actually, and I was talking to Ben at one point, and I almost got myself into some trouble because I'd heard a leak of the album, like, well, not a leak, I'd heard it from a friend, a mutual friend, I guess.
That's okay, we're cool, though. It's all good.
Yeah.
It's out, that's man.
Cool.
You're safe.
I was going to ask, since I can't really afford it, I guess, myself, I was going to see if there's any possible way if
I can't wait.
Oh man, if since for not leaking the album I could get like tickets to a show.
I hung up on him for not leaking the album.
That's kind of a reverse blackmail.
Yeah, that's like, I was a good guy. It's like saying like, hey, I didn't break into your car. It's like there's things that are like,
remember when I held your wife hostage and didn't kill her?
Not doing a bad thing is not the same as doing a good thing. Like, hey, I didn't leak that album, right? I could have ruined everything. How about some tickets? No. Go get a, mow some lawns. You're down in Houston. I don't know. Go get a paper route. Mike, no more calls! Hey, let him ring through, Mike. All right. I want to say thank you for you guys coming down. It was a lot of fun. I hope you had fun, too.
I had a blast.
Having my friends from MGMT here, Will and Ben and Andrew and Simon, thank you for making the trip here. And the album is really great, and you know I'm a fan of all the albums, and the new one, Little Dark Ages, no exception, and I love it. And you guys are going to be playing around all year? Is that kind of the plan?
Yeah, everywhere.
Tomorrow we leave.
You leave tomorrow.
Says
okay.
Yoda. Yeah.
And then you're doing kind of, you're hitting cities.
Yeah, the big
all
cities.
Over the place, yeah. And then there's the summer. What's the summer going to be?
Summer, we're going to play some festivals in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go to the land down under. We're going to go to the land of the rising sun.
Okay.
And we might go to China.
Really?
I don't know. I guess we haven't really.
See, I like this.
Can
is
you
news.
See that Will
can
and I?
Like, really?
Here
what?
Later.
Yes.
Simon, you might just go to China.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. I've been trained for that.
Wow. Thank you so much. And we're going to play something from Simon's new, what is this? This is just a standalone single right
single.
Now. Right?
Yeah.
All right. Yell at me.
I'm sorry.
I'm kidding. I'm just like, you yelled at the woman about the show.
You made her cry.
You made her cry. I'm not saying
did you make her cry again? Did
no,
I?
No, you didn't.
I was sweating when she started that
me
question.
Too.
Why did I say that?
So, this song is called Lucifer the Lightbearer, and it's out everywhere now, right?
Yes.
And we'll hear this, and we'll see our friends, MGMT, when they come to our cities, and then we'll see Simon Doom also, and let's listen to this, and we'll be back next week. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Devil, and there ain't no God. No one to put your blame.